Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth. And with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the Monsoors of my Mustafa Ali, Mr. Matt Scott. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm just happy to be here. That was awesome, Mari. The intro was awesome.
Ugh. Whoa. Calm down.
Don't rain on my parade. Don't rain on my parade. I'm having a good time. Happy to be here. Caffeinated, jazzed up, feeling my living my best Monsoor life.
And yes.
This is the Wrestling Rehab Up. Yes. As always, good to be here, Mari.
Yes, Matt. Man, this week in wrestling, talk about an ups and downs here. Because, I mean, the first few days, I was like, meh. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, we'll get into it. But last night just blew my socks off. How was your week, Matt?
You know what? Not only this week in wrestling, but the last couple weeks in wrestling have kind of just been strange.
Yeah.
But in a good way. Like, there's a lot more momentum and excitement and energy coming into it. And, yeah, I'm into what we're seeing for the most part. You could see that they're pushing for some things. There's some news and some rumors about certain people who may or may not be debuting certain places, allegedly.
Yeah.
And so, you know what?
I'm last pumped.
I'm pumped for it. You know what? I'll also say it's good to alternate back and forth between like the craziness of the Big Brother house and the whatever we're getting with wrestling, which is a huge mixed bag this week, especially.
Yes. I mean, like, keeping track of wrestling while also trying to keep track of the just craziness of the Big Brother 23 house. It's amazing. It's tiring, but I got stuff cooking in my mental. But we've been fed like this week with Big Brother, with wrestling. I mean, not to mention all sorts of other reality TV shows that we both are like fans of or on. I mean, it's great. Like, this is the golden age for reality television, and wrestling is like also finding its footing now too. I think it's just that post pandemic, like, energy that people are trying to get, but we're still in a pandemic. But people think that it's that post-lockdown, that post, you know, type of deal. So
post-lockdown and probably pre-lockdown, but that's a whole story.
Right? Exactly. So it's just like we said, it's a lot of energy in live events and just gatherings and things that bring people together. So let's enjoy it while it lasts. Yeah. So into the news though, unfortunately, wow, Natalya was injured on Raw. I honestly didn't even know this happened until like yesterday. That's how,
what?
Yeah, wow. I didn't realize it. But during Raw, Natalya and Tamina went up against Doudrop and Eva Marie. And I mean, I probably didn't realize it because this is one of those matches where I'm pretty sure I was like not paying attention to, just because like the Lily Lucian, the
Eva
weird
Marie is a national treasure.
To who?
Think about write your notes have nation? Apology and which respect nation? Natalie Eva Marie, an
Never.
Icon of the celebrity Big
Never.
Brother game, a reality TV legend, if you will. She's
Never.
One of the most charismatic people out there. And
wow.
You are disrespecting her with this. But
what
please
Kool-Aid
go on. Go
drinking.
On with your news and your update.
So it's just been weird because
Eva, I'm so sorry for Mari. I don't know what. I'll talk to HR.
Because this Alexa Bliss Eva Marie storyline is just so weird to wrap my head around, you know?
Weird.
Like, Alexa is suddenly a face. The Lily Lucian is kind of weird and interesting. Like I said, it's just, I don't know. But putting all that aside, Natalya and Doudrop, formerly Piper Nevin, whatever you have you, they were putting on a really good match, and then Natalya came up limping a little bit. I mean, it was, I don't know if this is just like kudos to Natalya for just being a professional because I didn't really realize she was hurt. I had to like actually rewind it over and over again to even try and figure out the source of what happened. And even then I couldn't see it on the broadcast too. It wasn't until she tweeted out.
She literally posted a picture on Instagram, probably also on Twitter, but of the moment that she was injured. And I didn't go back again and watch the match to see it again, but it was just unfortunate. And it was just a matter of timing being off and her basically, I think, having her ankle rolled over somehow by Piper, by Dewdrop, aka Piper. It was not cute, but she was able to handle it. She got right up from it. And she's like, I guess she probably called it in the ring and said like, let me grab you in a headlock and back into the corner. And then she's out of the match. So I don't know what the injury is exactly. Do you have any idea?
No, I'm looking at her tweets now. So the first tweet was sent like the day after Raw, where she said, or 2 days after Raw, where she said, thank you to everyone for the kind words about what happened on WWE Raw. There are beatings you can plan for and there are ones you can't. That's the job. But I'm willing to give whatever bones, muscles, and tendons I have to continue doing what I love. Good thing I'm unbreakable. And this is what the picture, because I saw the picture and I went back to the broadcast. The way that the camera angle is shot, I don't know if they did this on purpose, but they just missed it altogether. The camera angle's on a different angle. So it happened so quickly that you don't even notice it from the other angle. And it isn't until you get the angle right where you see her knee is kind of bent. Piper kind of rolled up over her knee. Her knee has been in an awkward angle that you even see that there could have been an injury. She did give this is how I knew, because she gave an update yesterday. This is how I found out. Today, my surgeon told me that I'm an anomaly. It's been an intense week, to say the least. All I asked was to be put back together in the fight and fast. Surgery will fix me. Defending our championship will drive me. Hashtag unbreakable. So again, even in this picture, it looks like it's an ankle injury. Like it's an ankle injury, not a knee injury.
Her doctor said she was an anomaly.
I don't know if that's a good way or not,
but it seems proud. So good for her.
Yes, exactly. So, but that also brings up another question. Her and Tamina are the women's tag team champions. So where do we go from here? Like,
she's a member of the Hart family. Just slap some duct tape, some glue, a few, I don't know why, ice pops?
As a medical professional, I do not condone. Put some ice pops
on that ankle and get in the ring.
No, I do not condone rushing people out.
It has the little wooden splint, but also the ice. Oh, and so you put that on your ankle and you can...
No, we learned nothing from Simone Biles.
I don't have any medical experience.
We are not rushing people back out to just further injure themselves. So we really hope she heals up, but we have some tag team championships that need to be defended. So I've never been a fan of having the championship sit while, people are injured. I think you have to evoke like that 30-day clause or whatever, especially with SummerSlam right around the corner. I don't know. Like, I don't like, I feel really bad for Natalya, but I would love if they would do like a tag team tournament for the women or something like that, or something to build up to SummerSlam. So we can, I hate that those titles it's a cycle of when they're relevant and when they're not relevant, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know you're looking at the roster like, who can,
no, hopefully it's not. I'm just thinking like, hopefully it's not too serious. She didn't indicate how long she would be out, and she referenced
but surgery.
But look, I'm not a doctor, as you can tell from my ice pop takes. I don't know, but they'll figure something out. I don't think WWE is so inconsistent with how they handle injuries and how long championships are defended. So whatever, it's cool. They'll do something. Mm-hmm. We probably won't be happy with it. That's the way it is.
Wait. You're supposed to be the optimist and I'm supposed to be the pessimist. Oh, what is happening here?
Also, I'm an optimistic realist, Mari.
Okay. Problem. My bad. There it is. I was like, did we just switch roles real quick?
Seeing the world burn is just like, oh, can't do anything about that. So we'll see. We'll see how WWE burns this one.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we did just get Tegan and Shotzi coming up. Yeah, they're hurting. That tag team division is hurting. Yeah. Shayna and Nia are now stronger because no Reggie. We saw
arguably one of the best tag teams in NXT, the best women's tag teams in NXT break up, which we'll talk about later. So,
yeah, we'll see.
Not hopeful, but you know what? That's the realist in me, not a pessimist.
All right. So if you have any emails, if you want to reach out to us, if you want to send any long form questions, send an email to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com and we will read your email on the show. You can also tag us at Wrestling Rehap Up on Twitter. We will, get back to you. You can add us all you want to. You can join the conversation by using hashtag Wrestling Rehap Up on Twitter as well. Matt Scott, where can the people find you?
Well, when I have good takes, you could find me at Matt Scott GW. When I have bad takes, you could at Mari Talks Too Much, like the number 2. It. And you know what? That's me mostly on Twitter. Also follow me and Mari too on Stereo for when we'll cover the pay-per-views post-show, because you could be part of the podcast as a number of people have. Thank you for those who have put in with your audio questions on the things. The other thing is I'm a patron of RHAP. So this is
the start of August.
This is a great time. I always get excited because I know that I'm going to have new friends who decide to show up and join the patron party. So like that's where you could find me. But Mari, tell the people where they could find you and all the other important things that you have to share with them.
So again, you can find me at Mari Talks Too Much. That's 2 on Twitter and Stereo. You can find both of us in Job Has a Squadcast Facebook group. If you have any questions about trying to join that group, that's the unofficial official patron group. You can always DM either me or Matt on Twitter, and we will help you get into that. Also, you can find this video, if you're watching us on video, welcome, on YouTube at Rob Has a Podcast on YouTube. You can also listen to us. We have our own podcast feed. Listen, download, 5 stars, all that good stuff. Wrestling Rehap Up, anywhere you get your podcasts. And like Matt said, it's the beginning of the month. So if you go and you sign up at www.patreon.com/RHAP, let them know the Wrestling Rehab Up sent you. Yeah, let them know. Let them know we sent you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. That would help us out a lot. Yeah,
hopefully it was just payday. You're sitting on way too much money. You're calculating the rent and you're like, man, I'm going to have way too much money left over after I pay rent this month. What do I do with $5? What do I do with $10? Whatever it might be. Well, you could become an RHAP patron. That's it. Tell them that we sent you. That's the important part.
Yeah, that's very important. To let them know that we sent you. And you'll get access to exclusive podcast feeds, Patreon games, and the Patreon Facebook groups and the platform, Discord. Yeah. So all the good stuff. Sign up on patreon.com/RHAP. All right. So
I know, Mari, for the future, we definitely should plug our Venmo in case people have extra money left over. Matt Scott on Venmo. Tip us? Thanks. Anyway,
I don't even know what my Venmo is anymore. Oh my God.
That's what we need to work on.
I mean,
that's
like
the only platform where I have my name. I don't have the GW, just Matt Scott.
There
please
you go.
Don't Venmo me.
Send a host a dollar, you know? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and we'll send it. That's right. I'll split it with Mari. But
we'll send it to you.
Or I'll send it to Rob. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do.
So you're asking for the money?
I'm not the accountant. I'm not the Academy,
so and I clearly you haven't thought your Baron Corbin strategy all the way through here yet. You're just asking for the money, but don't know what to do with it.
Okay, Mari. reference of all the money that is, there, that is the $1 million man, the IRS, nope. who was the tax expert.
Nope, but you're no, down and no, out.
Okay,
we're down and out.
I think we need our guests in here because this is very upsetting right now, folks. Yeah. And so, please, Mari, is it time for me to welcome our guests? I need to.
It is time. It is time. Get that instrument together.
Vocal? Is there a vocal?
You're good. We're good.
Okay. Please welcome. Wait. Please welcome to the podcast a Renaissance man, a statesman, a polymath, a jovial lad. Let me spoil it for you right now. It's AJ. AJ, which stands for, it could stand for a joy. It could stand for absolutely genius, duh. It could stand for Audio Jordan, like Air Jordan, but with audio. This is Mrs. Norris's baby boy, the agent of chaos, the Georgia peach, the kid, and I'm not talking about Jason. Please welcome AJ Norris!
AJ's in the house. I appreciate that. That's hilarious. I was not ready for that. You are so talented at that. Like, oh my God.
You are so good. Man.
So
you,
good.
You do it all.
I do nothing in it all at the same time.
That's deep. That's deep. That sounds like a Backstreet Boys song.
Oh, don't compare me to them. Oh no.
But anyway, I'm gonna welcome our next guest. While AJ is on the podcast for the first time, this man is a returner to the podcast. Mm-hmm. This man is the creator of Silent Podcasts. Shh, it's a very ironic name. He's a rapper, and he's the antithesis to Britney from Big Brother 23 because he could actually rap. He's from the Diamond State, the Small Wonder, the Blue Hen State, the Beach State, the Land of Tax-Free Shopping State, New Sweden. The first state, Delaware. Let's get ready for 8-ball bangers. 8-ball's gonna get you. Isaiah, welcome to the podcast.
Nah.
Well, that was like an ASMR. Yeah. I know that had hurt even worse than the, but it was good. I love that. Welcome back, Isaiah. How did you feel about your intro there?
Oh, that was exciting. I'm appreciative that you put all that effort into it. I'm sure your throat probably hurts now, but
I feel like I just learned a whole bunch about Delaware. Like,
yeah. Not a lot of people know that Delaware exists nowadays.
I'm from Maryland and I didn't know half that stuff. So I'm like, and look, embarrassing.
I can go to the dollar store and it'll actually be a dollar. So
there you go.
Is it known as the Peach State?
Something like that. I don't know. We're known by a
Georgia
lot of
Georgia the things. Peach State?
Georgia probably. Is the Peach State. Yeah.
So we have a feud. Great.
That's well, awesome. I think isn't Delaware the first state?
Yeah.
The first state.
That was one of the... that. Yes, okay. Mari. That is
but it wasn't good enough. They had to get 50 wonder. More.
Right?
The Blue Hen State. Oh, Diamond State. You know, diamonds.
We have a lot of epithets.
You do? Yeah. That's a big Tanya Stark's word epithet.
There you go.
Dictionary.
Shout out to LT. We're so happy to have you guys. This is amazing. AJ, since you're a first timer, I'm going to start with you. How was it getting to dive into these weird, wonderful clips of wrestling that we sent you this week?
I was having so much fun. I enjoyed it. Like, even the quote unquote slower parts, I was like, oh, this is fun though. Like, I'm having like a jovial time. Like, it's like, oh, I should get back into wrestling because this was, I was unexpected. Some shocking things happened. I'm happy that y'all showed me these.
Awesome. Yeah. And we're glad to hear that because here at the Wrestling Wrap Up, you know, we try to make it a very all-inclusive wrestling community. If you are a hardcore fan, if you are a casual fan, if you are a lapsed fan, all of that, we want to be able to just connect with as many people as possible, just loving wrestling, being fun, positive, and light. and just enjoying the things we enjoy. And if we don't like it, we'll let you know. So we're so happy to have you back on, Isaiah. So you came on a while back, and one of the main reasons we brought you back is because he has been in my inbox consistently, just like, oh, look at this. I loved it. I'm like, I love that we have maybe sparked a tiny flame.
A little bit, like I was saying before, I was like, when I started out as a super casual, I was like at a zero on a scale of 0 to 10. I'm at like a 3 now, but like, yeah. I'm like, all right, like if I see like Sasha Banks on the screen or something, or like Blair or something, I'm like, wait, I know who these people are. You know, I'm just like, you know, so it's funny. But it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, and so I even have my I have my chart pulled up right here of your from a zero to, so I'm gonna keep tracking that, and we'll keep the statisticals up to date.
We love to see it.
If you're watching us on YouTube, Matt just did a very handy chart.
just did it, Mari. I mean, doing this for year
months?
For the last
February. Yeah, you've been tracking it. Well,
accurate data.
Go to the YouTube to see how in depth that chart is.
It's a great chart.
10 out of 10 chart, very in depth.
Thank you. I mean, it's accurate. I don't know.
It's not inaccurate.
It's not inaccurate, and that's well,
I guess that is all that matters, huh? As always, we will be talking about the highlights of the week in wrestling. And those highlights can be found in our show notes if you're listening to the podcast, and the show description if you're on YouTube, so you can follow along as we discuss each clip highlight of the week. So I flipped the script this week. It's my show. You know what? We can do what we want to. We got free reign.
Blindside.
Yeah, we do. You know, normally we try and go in chronological order of what the week happens, blah, 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 blah. F all of that. SmackDown was amazing this week, okay? SmackDown was so good. I said, you know, we're doing it all over. We're starting with SmackDown because, I mean, this was one of the best wrestling shows, I think, this year, at least from WWE. Definitely at least from WWE.
Wow.
You know, AEW has been doing pretty good too as well. So I mean, again, I am also very biased on certain things, but I just thought that the show flow in itself was also really well done. So, we have to give it, we love to start with the stuff. We start with the stuff that we want to talk about. You know, that's the first, if we want to talk about it, we start with it first. And then if something happens, you know, we don't talk about some stuff. We can't fit it all in. So that's why I like to talk about the stuff I love to talk about first. So I just had to do it. We have to get SmackDown. We have to dive deep into this. So as a warm up, if you go to our highlights, we have to talk about John Cena coming back again. This was so clever. We all
what
knew
part
where
of it was
going.
Clever.
I loved it all. I'm sorry.
Is where I have problems.
No, I loved it. It doesn't make a lick of sense. And I just love it.
Anything with none of it. None of it makes any sense at all.
Not a lick.
You know what?
So
I'm not mad at it. I'm just really annoyed by it.
Really? Okay. So again, I think we flipped today. I think I am the optimist and Matt is the pessimist.
I'm in a horrible mood starting to talk about John Cena. He's literally wearing the same clothes he wore 10 years ago. Like, what is going on?
That's what Roman's saying.
Yes. Everything Roman said was right and everything Cena said was wrong, and it bothers me. And that's all we have to say. True. That has been the wrestling wrap up, ladies and gentlemen. avoid those flying elbows.
Excuse you. Let me take the reins back a little bit. No, I'm just playing. So we first start off, we just get a recap of I'll be here all week, folks. We start off with a clip of Roman Reigns accepting Finn Balor's challenge last week. It's just a clip of what happened the prior week. John Cena comes out, and Matt makes a very good point here. Like, John Cena says a whole bunch of things that make no sense, you know, that it's not true.
Yeah.
He talks about how Roman has, they try to put every gimmick on Roman for him to get pushed to the top. He's always had the machine behind him, which is true. I mean, you can't say that that's not true in the past, but none of this is what we're talking about right this very second. You know what I'm saying? What Roman is doing right now as the top heel in the company for almost a year now is nothing that John Cena actually addressed with what's going on. He said he's not actually as over as he thinks he is, sir. Sorry, he is. So, but he gets interrupted by Baron Corbin, who I don't care what anybody says. I love sad Baron Corbin. I don't know why. Baron Corbin has always had my heart in some weird shape or form, and I don't like him as a person. I did not like him as a person on the Breaking Ground documentary. So for me to like,
that's the only time I liked him.
What is? But this? I love Cosmo Corbin.
I know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying? I love King Corbin, and I love Sad Sack Baron Corbin. I have no idea why. And he comes out, confronts John Cena, and gets an attitude adjustment. We'll stay right here, and then we'll talk about what happened at the end. Yeah. But Matt, well, since you have some thoughts, some more thoughts, what did you think of all of this?
Missionary.
There it is.
That's it. But also, here's the other thing. So Cena, I'm a little annoyed because everything that Roman Reigns said last week, which was basically, John Cena, you've been doing the same thing. Like in the highlight package, we got the side by side of Cena from
amazing.
I don't even know what year, but it was 2000. Yeah, it was a long time ago. And then Cena now, and not a lot has changed. And it was so accurate to the point where now I can't listen to John Cena's promo because I'm just like, dude, you know, it's okay to be wrong, but like, why make a promo that's trying to like argue with the truth? We know how good Roman Reigns is. But at the same time, the one piece of this that I appreciate is that John Cena is back. It felt really familiar to have him. I wish that he would talk less, and I wish that there'd be more of like a logical progression to the story. There's not. I don't understand how he thinks he deserves a title shot when he's been gone making Fast and the Furious, whatever, or Need for Speed or whatever those movies are. Good for him. And issuing apologies for things. And so, you know what? I'm just a little bothered by this man, but you know what? I'm going to try to get out of my feelings. This is my one thing. I swear I'm not upset with like the rest of wrestling this week, but John Cena's getting on my nerves. I want to change clothes because he,
Isaiah, you said John Cena was one of the one people you recognize. What did you think about this?
I disagree. And this is why. You gotta sell merch, Matt. Right? You gotta sell merch.
Oh, there we go.
This is his commercial. Like when you see superheroes on cartoons and stuff, right? They have the same clothes on every time. You recognize them. This is Cena's thing. This is his shtick. He's arguably like The Rock and some of the biggest people to come out of this. He's on the movies. He's getting all the commercials. You don't see any of these other people getting the type of clout.
Wait, let me lay down as I'm getting dragged.
I'm just saying, you can't hate on him. I'm just saying, not too much. Look, you can't see him. Not too much on him. Like, it does not matter. I'm on John Cena's side, period.
Points were made. AJ, what did you think about these clips?
So here's why I think, like, I get it, baby boy. Like, it's working. Like, you're selling the merch, you're making the money, you're getting the movie deals. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, I respect the hustle. Like, if I could do the same thing for 50 years, oh, that'd be boring. But still, I respect the hustle. But also, like, so John Cena is supposed to be the anti-establishment candidate in this? Like, he is like Roman Reigns. You have the machine all backing you and stuff like that. True. But me, John Cena, I am against
self-made, right? Yeah.
Self-made, man.
Ironic, yeah.
So ironic. From the bootstraps, worked for everything. Like, I believe it. But then, like, we get to Mr. Corbin there. Like, Mr. Sad Sack Corbin. Mr. My wife left me and took the kids Corbin.
Yeah.
Mr. I teach in high school Corbin. I was like, yeah. Sir, do you not own an iron? Like, what are you doing?
I wow. love the stain. Like, the stain, my husband just loves the stain on the lapel. Like, it's just.
I was like, is that honey mustard? Is that barbecue sauce? Like, what you eating? Can I get some?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love this. And he said, desperate men do desperate things. And John Cena tried to help him, apparently, with an attitude adjustment, because John Cena is the good guys here, guy. Like, well, yeah. You know.
But, like, what was he expecting? What was John Cena supposed to do for this man? Like, you set yourself up for failure.
Well, yeah. Didn't Baron Corbin basically said, let me hold $5?
You look sloppy. Like, I don't know. He's struggling.
He should have just given his Cash App on TV, and people would have started sending him money.
Right. Like, well, didn't he say... he did do that, but then the guy who set the website up stole the money.
Oh, yeah. It was like CorbinFundMe.com.
Yeah. He did a CorbinFundMe like a week or two ago, and having people send money to him. And he said the guy who did the website stole the money. I love it. Matt, do you have a picture of Corbin with his
and his disheveled look? No, I don't want to look at this. Like, this...
It's so sad.
Don't do this.
This is more than one day. That's
because the thing is, I was just trying to.
This has been a few weeks, Isaiah.
That is horrible.
He looks so.
Everything he said, like his car got towed on TV like a month ago. Like he got.
He's making a joke out of this guy.
He got hit in the nether regions last week by a cannon.
The nether regions, she said.
Yeah, a cannonball thingy. So like, he's down bad, y'all. Corbin down bad, and. This confronting John Cena to get that attitude adjustment was just, it was just funny to me. I loved everything about it. Which brings us to the final clip in this series. So throughout the night, Roman Reigns, of course, is like, I don't see John Cena. I don't care. The answer is no, which I love this because, like, I love when heel champions do heel champion things. Oh, John Cena, the babyface, gonna come and challenge me. No. I don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. So I love that. And Adam, what's his name? Adam Pearce. And Sonya Deville, they get the contracts together. Roman goes out to sign it for Roman and Finn Balor, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're Roman signs. We're about to get Finn Balor to sign it, but then all of a sudden Baron Corbin comes out, beats up Finn Balor, and a lot of us are like, okay, what is happening right now? But we all know it's a contract signing, so nothing ever goes according to plan at a contract signing. So it wasn't too shocking. It was just that Corbin came out of nowhere. And then he takes out Finn Balor, then he grabs the contract like, oh, I'm going to sign the contract. I thought that was like, okay. And then, of course, cue John Cena's music. John Cena beats up Baron Corbin. And then John Cena takes the biggest Sharpie I've ever seen in my entire life and decides to sign his name again with the biggest signature I've ever seen in my life and sign the contract. And it is now Roman Reigns versus John Cena. And I love this segment. I don't care. I like shenanigans. I love this segment. I thought it was so funny that Roman was just sitting there seething. Like, you've got to be absolutely kidding me. I thought it was a great way to like not have to have Cena like fight Finn Balor or fight Corbin in order to get the shot. Because honestly, I know he's about to unload. We all know it's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? We all know we're getting John Cena versus Roman Reigns. So I'm glad they didn't sacrifice any talents to get to that point. Okay, Matt, what do you need to say?
This is not how contracts work.
Well, we also got a clip of Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville because Paul Heyman said that exact same thing. He said, that's not how contracts work. That is true. His name on it. Well, Adam Pearce said, well, it doesn't matter. We just ratified the contract, so it's legit now.
Are these two like the most inefficient people like ever? Like their employees walk all over them. Like this ain't the first this week, but
let's just say Adam Pearce has some history with Roman Reigns. So anything anything that gets under Roman Reigns' skin, Adam Pearce is all for it. I'm sorry, Matt. You can continue.
We love spikes.
That's still not how contracts work. Because if you've ever had to sign any paperwork, it's never just like, ooh, sign this one thing at the bottom.
Right.
Like, your initials. Name's probably on there. Initials in 10 different places. You can't steal someone else's contract. That is not like, wouldn't that be great if that's how the world worked? If I just like camped outside of a doctor's office when a new doctor's coming in about to sign the contract, you know, hit her with a steel chair and then just like took the contract and signed it and got that doctor money. I'm not a doctor. Ice pops. We were talking about this earlier. It's not how that works.
Listen, if I was
better.
If we were signing our house contract for our house, that's just like almost 45 minutes. And so I just came in with a steel chair and then sat there for 45 minutes signing all of our documents. I would be so done. That's funny. That is true. Yeah. So Isaiah,
I'm not a lawyer. That would be Melissa.
I was going to say, first of all, like, it was just hilarious to me when I saw Baron Corbin, like, hit Balor. Like, he, like, slammed his head into the table and, like, I don't know where he came from. So that was very random. But I'm going to have to disagree with you. I don't care how contracts work. Like, if I go to me, I'm going to try this. Like, I'm going to just put my name on somebody's contract. Because, look, this is exciting. This seems like Cena, who used to be, like, the head of everything, the face of WWE versus the new face of WWE. Like, this is like some Jordan versus LeBron type. So, like, I like it.
Yes,
I think obviously, but it feels like, all right, I think Cena's going to lose because it's going to be like, all right, it's time to usher in the new generation, get the old heads out of here.
That's what we're hoping.
It feels cool, though. It feels like some blockbuster type headlines, and I like it. I think it's cool.
I agree. Anything else, AJ?
Okay.
Oh, sorry, Matt. You still going? I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, I'm done.
It's Are you fine. Sure about that?
Yeah. I'll go back to where I came from.
So I enjoyed this so much. I had so much fun. I like Reigns being like, Ben, are you just going to let John punk you like that? Like, he called you lesser than. And I was like, Ben, you better pipe up. And he didn't pipe up like I wanted him to. I wanted him to say something with his full chest, but he ain't do it. And then, then Baron Corbin, out of nowhere, that sad sack. Oh, my gosh. I was like, sir, don't do this. Don't put yourself to embarrassment because you'll lose this match. This man is. Oh, and also, Roman didn't care. Like, he saw Finn Balor getting beat up. He was just like, I'm so
not my problem.
Like, I'm on a schedule here. Like, we got to get. And then when John Cena came out, I was like, oh, I see where this is going. They complimented his signature. I was like, that's a terrible signature.
It's just his last name and then some squiggles.
I was like, what's that? Like, no.
I can't talk, though.
Listen, I've never seen a beautiful signature before in my life, and I probably never will. So, but you know, we love John Cena here, apparently.
But I'm sorry, AJ, keep going.
No, go.
I was going to say, I still also like how they did it because it still didn't really feel like a burial for Finn. It felt like Baron Corbin, like people, you know, hate Baron Corbin. He was getting the booze. So Baron Corbin taking out Finn Balor, who is a, like, the people love Finn Balor, taking out Finn Balor. Will eventually segue into, you know, something with them, which is going to be pretty cool. But then Cena beating up on Baron Corbin doesn't feel like a burial. Like, if Cena came out and like Roman said that Cena thought that Finn was lesser than him. If Cena came out and beat on Finn Balor, he could not be, you know, we couldn't root for him because that's messed up. So I love this like little transition here, because John Cena's already beat up on Baron Corbin. People like seeing Baron Corbin get his butt beat, and John Cena has buried Baron Corbin before. Baron Corbin failed his cash in on Money in the Bank a few years ago because of John Cena. So people love watching John Cena and Baron Corbin go at it. So I thought this was a great, just a great little segue into what we'll probably get is Finn versus Baron. And then, of course, we knew we were getting John Cena versus Roman. So I like this. I actually think this is way better than trying to have like a number one contenders match or anything like that.
See, I thought this was going the route of Finn signs it, and then like next week or something, John be like, hey, let's fight for that contract. And Finn, being the good guy he is, be like, okay, and then loses and he looked like a stupido. Or,
and that's normally how it goes. Yeah. That's
right. Or like they'd be like, we're going to add John Cena to the match because he brings in money. And we'd be like, okay.
That exactly.
What happens with Finn now, though? That's my big question. And I'm going to be less outraged now about this, but I was excited because I like to see him in a main event spot, especially because he just showed up again from NXT and was in this spot. And people were happy that he was in the spot, but obviously there were some Cena shenanigans going on. So do we think that we're going to get Finn back in the title picture, or is he just going to take it and go back to NXT and not get his contract?
I think this is, for me personally, I think this was a good move because you want to heat Finn back up. I mean, Finn is over, but you want to heat. I don't like when people rush people to the title scene, especially if we know Roman is probably keeping this belt for at least a few more months, if not all the way to WrestleMania again. Mm-hmm. So like, why do we really want to see Finn be fed to Roman when he could be built up this whole way and then eventually fight whoever comes next or whatever. And the good thing for Finn Balor is he's on SmackDown. SmackDown's mid card, which we'll talk about later. SmackDown actually has a mid card that they're actually doing things with. And their mid card is very strong. So I'm not too concerned about Finn as opposed to if he was on Raw and just like Raw has no structure. It has no mid card right now. I don't even know what they're doing over there. Like, I don't know what they're doing over there. So yeah. I'm glad Finn is on SmackDown. I'm excited to see him and Baron Corbin go at it. This isn't that bad for Finn. I think I'd much rather him do this than get buried by John Cena. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so. I think my only thought on this too is like, I wonder who it could be if it wasn't Baron Corbin. I don't know. I feel like at some point we were talking about Baron Corbin on this podcast. Maybe you're definitely a bigger Baron Corbin fan than I am,
right?
But because in NXT he was really solid and he had like a menacing character, and then he was Constable Corbin with his little suits and stuff. And you know what, like he changed a lot. He even shaved his head, which now he kind of has hair
growing back.
There's hair there, but you know, I wonder, like, I kind of think I would have appreciated this if it was somebody else in that spot, but he's the person for that spot, obviously, with everything you mentioned with the Cena Corbin history. It's just natural, and it does sound like, which you alluded to, that we're going to get Finn and Baron Corbin. Maybe this is going to be a hot feud that even leads into SummerSlam. Who knows? But I'm on the same page as you now, Mari. I had to be convinced.
Can I ask a question real quick? Is there like, I sense the Roman Reigns love, and honestly, he's perfect at the moment in my eyes. Like, he's done everything right. I love his attitude. Is there like a viable person that you would be like happy with if like they beat Roman Reigns for the title at this point?
I would just say that I don't know how much I've thought about who I'd be happy beating, like who I'd be okay with beating him, because that's a kind of a tough question. I think if someone beat him, it would just be really surprising, but it would need to be like like, let's say Finn Balor beat him for the championship. That would be shocking, but I think a lot of people would be okay with it.
A lot of people would love it.
That would be used to build Finn out of SummerSlam, assuming that match would have happened. It would be annoying if John Cena won, so we wouldn't want to see that. Just because, like, John Cena is he currently 16-time world champion going on to 17, Mari?
Yeah, he's tied with Ric Flair. If he wins one more championship, he will officially be the person with the most championship reigns in history. So
reigns.
So my answer to that question was, like, Big E is Mr. Money in the Bank right now. The reactions that the mid card was getting, I wouldn't mind Big E beating Roman, but I think what's going to be the biggest thing about who beats Roman is the storyline going into it. And so far, all of Roman's feuds have had really good storylines. So I'm really not worried, except for, like Matt said, if John Cena just comes back, wins this title, and then disappears again, then it's just that wouldn't be satisfying. Yeah. Ideally, you would want somebody on the active roster who they were, you know, pushing as the biggest babyface to beat Roman. The Rock is coming back for Survivor Series this year. That's in November. So you don't necessarily want The Rock to beat Roman here. I think you still want like a pass the torch type of match.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah,
I think it's the type of thing where if someone is like elevated by beating Roman Reigns and you're building a star, then we love that, as opposed to just taking it off of him with someone who's already a bigger star, because that doesn't really do anyone any favors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isaiah, any thoughts here?
Well, first of all, when it comes to Corbin, I'm starting to think that, like, he needs to at least, like, be hyped up to, like, win something, right? Like, there needs to be some end goal with, like, all this sloppiness. There needs to be, like, some sort of end goal when it comes, like, storytelling. So I want him to
lose for the rest of his life.
That's horrible.
But that's what they want. So, like, that's what they want.
Like, that is the crowd. So, like, I feel so bad for that guy. But now, like, it can either go two ways. It's either you're pathing for Roman to be, like, the new big guy, like, for how many more years is going to go by, like, he's going to be, like, the face if he beats John Cena, or you're going to have John Cena be, like, the new GOAT. I don't know if that's Ric Flair in the standings or whatever, but in terms of how you guys are speaking with, like, titles and stuff like that, if John Cena wins that, it seems like he's going to be the next GOAT. So, you know, it really just depends on how they handle that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Seems like there's a lot of stakes with this one.
Yeah, there is. And I mean, Roman has had a lot of feuds, and as the feuds have progressed, they've been, like, more and more credible, like, challengers. So, so far, Cena is the most credible challenger that we feel like could possibly, you know, take it off him. So that's always good to have when you have a long reign like this. Roman, I think it'll be like in October when he'll be the champion for a year. So it's good that it's a slow build, and we're just quickly going towards bigger and bigger challenges for him.
That's exciting.
Sounds fun. So we got to get to what basically made me change the whole order around. Like, I didn't catch it. So Bianca Belair came out to celebrate 100 days as the SmackDown Women's Champion, looking amazing as ever in something I'm pretty sure she made. Just so hyped, smiling. The crowd was loving her, chanting EST, EST. I'm so glad she's getting so much love from the crowd, because you can tell she just loves it. She loves hearing from them. They love her, apparently. I love that for her. And then Carmella comes out, you know, talking her talk along with Zelina Vega, and immediately they start beating up on Bianca. And so we all know where this is going. I was like, okay, all right. And we heard whispers. There were little whispers that somebody might be in the back. And so when Carmella and Zelina Vega started beating up Bianca Belair, and we heard Sasha Banks' music hit, Sasha was all business. She came in fully geared up. She beat the crap out of Zelina and Carmella and hugged Bianca very aggressively. Bianca was like, what the hell? Like, Bianca's face was like, okay. Yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the picture right now. Perfect picture, because Bianca just looked so confused.
She was like, I'm just here to celebrate. I didn't ask for all this.
She was like, did I hit my head or what's going on? Like,
why is Sasha being nice? So for a little bit of backstory, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, they main evented WrestleMania 4 months ago for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Bianca took the championship off of Sasha. Sasha has been gone ever since. I don't know. I don't know if she was filming The Mandalorian or not, but she's been gone ever since. And this was her first time back, and this was like a surprise run in. And this happened like mid show. It wasn't even at the top of an hour, so I was like, "Whoa!" Like, they are all right. This was like a legit surprise, and so after this, they were then put in a tag team match, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair versus Zelina Vega and Carmella. So again, a little bit more of the backstory. Before Sasha and Bianca met at WrestleMania, they were actually tag teaming for a good portion of their feud. You know, their feud was basically built on respect. A lot of people didn't like that, but it was a very slow burn of a feud. It culminated at WrestleMania. They then went on to win the ESPY for the best WWE moment. So they were photographed a lot together on the red carpet at the ESPY, smiling. They clearly have mutual respect for one another. So when Sasha ran out here, I mean, it made sense. I mean, it made logical sense, but people were upset.
People were upset about which part?
They were upset. They're like, why is Sasha a face? You know, I loved how, people were people? Lots of people. People want
on the
people,
internet. The internet, of course. Peoples?
The internet. The internet.
They're right. In case you internet people are watching, yep, we completely agree with you.
We don't want that smoke. The crowd, oh my God, the crowd went wild for Sasha. The crowd
loved her.
Wild for Bianca. What were y'all thoughts just on this clip right here? We'll start with Isaiah. Let's start with Isaiah.
I thought Sasha was very fake.
Yeah!
I'm just saying.
Oh no.
I didn't like that. I did not like that. One bit, but maybe because I'm a bias. Like, if I was a stan for anyone, it would be for Bianca. So, you know what? Yes. I didn't like that, but you know, carry on.
Wait, this was after. Okay. Based on what she did, you thought she was fake.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, let me wait. But, you know.
Just on this one. All right, AJ, what about you?
I love this so much. It brought me so much joy in my life. First off, Little Miss Carmella being like, I lost the match legitimately, so I deserve a rematch. I love that.
Right, make it make sense.
Like, I'm like, okay. And then they beating up my sis, and then my other sis coming out. I'm like, oh, look at my sisters. they coming out like, yes, like lovey-dovey. Oh, like, look at that. Black excellence right there.
Yeah.
We love to see that. I was like,
it's so AJ, you were sucked in. You were sucked in. You were like, yeah, this is amazing. We're getting that.
Yeah. Okay. I can admit when I'm fooled.
That
friendship. Ooh, I love a good. That's what wrestling is all about. Friendship. Mm-hmm. We just love it when we loved it to see these two Black women come together. We love to see them on the same time, or on the same side. Sasha, how dare you? How dare you? You two-faced coward literally stabbed her in the... Actually, if we literal. Get to something where there was some stabbing going on in the wrestling ring, that's a whole other story. But you literally stabbed her in the back. I'm wearing my EST WrestleMania shirt right now, and you stabbed her in the...
This is amazing.
How could you?
So the second clip during the Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair, the Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair versus Carmella and Zelina Vega match. Again, if you guys notice, we got a lot of tag team wrestling from Sasha and Bianca because they teamed up for a few weeks during their feud. I mean, we had Bianca lifting Sasha over her head and throwing her at Carmella and Zelina.
That was great back then.
It was amazing. Back in the day. And then we had some double team drop kicks, a lot of really well-oiled machinery here, to the point where some of us were like, wait, oh my God, maybe the queen should go for the tag titles. Like, there, you know, people were like, maybe I'll give our sisters the tag titles. And but Sasha ended up picking up the tap out victory. She made Carmella tap. I mean, also, again, real quick, kudos to Carmella. That girl is getting it. She is putting in the work. I love Carmella. I feel like if they can get her character together and they send her to Raw, like, she could be it. I do love everything Carmella is doing. But then we get a celebration. It's like Sasha and Bianca. We're like, yes, oh my God. I mean, they went full force all into this. We were getting, the crowd was cheering. The camera was pulling back like they were about to close the show, because this was the this was later in the night, this match. It was the headliner. It headlined the main event. It was pulling back like we're about to leave and be out of here. And all of a sudden, no, Sasha hits Bianca with the backstabber. Literally, that move is called the backstabber. And puts her into the bank statement. And
I can't lie, this was so great. Just it to was see so good. This, the visual, which Sasha posted this picture, posted a version of this on her Instagram,
yes,
and probably Twitter, of her just kind of Bianca tapping out, but Sasha just pulling on her. And wow, oh my gosh.
This so fake. So fake.
I love
this. Yeah, she is so fake, actually. You know what? We're on the same page finally, 8-Ball.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Sasha's, what are you gonna canceled. Do all that? Like, you're gonna do, so first of all, she was already getting beat up. You save her, you help her beat other people up, and then you backstab her.
The long
it was just like, what was the point? Like, like, you don't gain anything from doing that. You just look like a very mean person. So
yeah, but it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot worse. Like, imagine if she'd been like, ooh, we're friends, and we see them end the show hugging, and then, you know, it goes into next week, Sasha shows up with like a little gift box or something for Bianca, opens it up, and there's like a friendship bracelet, and then we go to the next week, and I just see this develop. Like, that's how you, if I was Sasha, I would be going for the long game of like, we're best friends, we're together, and then turn on her and take her out. That's what
this
I would
do. This is a 4-month plan though, Matt.
But that's the thing.
4 months. Sasha has been waiting since WrestleMania back in April to
get her revenge. Exactly.
You know what? She should have just done it at the ESPYs 2 weeks ago. Just take Bianca out on stage.
On steal stage. Her award.
Oh my God.
Their joint award.
Yeah.
It was like, wait, this isn't a part of the show.
That would have been iconic.
That would have been
on amazing. Like the New York Times or something like that.
AJ,
I loved every second of it. Like, it was so good. It was. So
were you shocked?
Fun.
Were you?
Yes. Shocked? We'll pause. I wasn't shocked because I saw the clip of the beginning of the picture.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
So I saw her like doing the thingy. So I wasn't shocked when it happened, but I loved it. Like, knowing that was coming, I was like, oh, she's bringing so much goodwill just to take her down. I love this so much. She was like, I'm a boss, you don't get to step to me. Yep. She was screaming like, you're here because of me. Like, I love that. Yep. I was like, oh, I love this energy. She wants what's hers. And then Bianca's like, what did I do to deserve this?
She wasn't ready.
It's just that I'm just saying, like, homegirl, she just came to celebrate her 100 days, got jumped, saved, won a fight, and then got betrayed. It's like, Y'all are some haters. Like, she's just trying to enjoy her day, and then y'all just going to over here and just start beating her up. Y'all, leave her alone.
Listen, you want to get comfortable? Get comfortable, but I will stab you in the back. Like, watch out, baby. I love this.
Yeah.
I love Bianca, and I love Sasha, but, like, I like this storytelling.
And yes. I just would add really quickly, I loved how they gave Sasha her face moments in not only in the match, of course, but in the segment before. So we got that like massive return pop for her. Everyone's really excited. So we still got that, which was amazing. And then we turned and then the crowd was really upset that they were made to look like idiots. I mean, I was
make me look stupid.
Make me look stupid.
Yes, exactly, Matt. That's exactly what I was just about to point out. Like, this was so perfectly executed because, again, if you go back to the history of what the women had just went through right before their WrestleMania match, they literally went through this long from Royal Rumble to the decision to WrestleMania. They always were at this respectable pace. They were always like, girl, I respect you, but you know, this is business. We got to do this. And it only really ever got even slightly heated right before WrestleMania. So, and then they had to do all the SVs and all the press junkets. And honestly, I'm pretty sure they're cool in real life too. You know what I'm saying? Kayfabe is dead. You can't pretend to hate each other in real life and stuff like that. So I thought this was just made so much sense. You know what I'm saying? Sasha comes back. Like Matt said, she was going to get a face style pop anyways. No matter what she did, she's going to get a face style pop. So this was great. This was so great to have her come and save Bianca, get that face pop, get everybody like just biting. The funny thing that you guys don't know, Sasha Banks is like kind of like known for turning on all of her, like most of her like partners and people. Like, again, her move that goes into her signature move is literally called the backstabber. So a lot of people were like, yes, Sasha's back. Oh my God. And then, and, you know, and then people were like, don't trust her, Bianca. You know, she's going to turn. So again, it's logical because we all know this is not going to last. Like, this isn't going to last. So it was perfect doing it all in one night, as opposed to like Matt saying, you drag it on for more and more weeks when we all know what's going to happen. And we've already seen this kind of feud from them to begin with, going into WrestleMania. So I loved it. The face moments in the match, the face moments, the pops right before the backstab. It was just perfectly placed because sometimes you don't need long-term storytelling. Sometimes you do it right then and there. That crowd gave you that exact reaction. And now Sasha Banks is the biggest heel on SmackDown, and SmackDown legit needed heels because on the women's side, there are like no heel. Carmella is the top heel on SmackDown. So
not great.
Yeah, so they needed this, and this was great. I mean, it was pitch perfect. They knocked it right out of the park.
Like, White Man was like, body. And if you build up, if you build up, funny, people like, I see it coming.
Yes, and the funny thing is, like, people on Twitter was like, was he really that shocked?
It just felt like, from John Cena to Sasha, it just felt like a bunch of past champions being salty that their time was up. And they're like,
you have to go through Isaiah.
I mean, even John Cena too. I'm saying it just felt like a lot of people were salty that they're old news. Like,
listen, you need a little salt.
Spice it up a little bit. I was just laughing because I looked over at you, Isaiah, and I was like, he just looks disgusted. As
I didn't like it. Not one bit.
You didn't like it. And you know what? I can appreciate it. I will say, I would love, Mari, wouldn't you love if Sasha started doing the backstabber, but to the front, like front stabber, and somehow did like the same move but to the front of the person? Because think like she's not a wolf in sheep's clothing. You'll see her coming. That's what she's about. She's
at that point, it's just a code breaker, I think, if you do it to the front.
Do it. And then, I don't know what the submission move would be, but it'd be just backwards. She could do it. She'll figure it out. Sasha, feel free to take my idea. It's not trademarked. Thank you.
You better trademark that. Get some money.
No.
I'm signing the contracts now. I'll go find it, someone who's trademarking something else. And
so pulling an Edison, we see here. So
Miss Edison.
Look it up.
Oh yeah, I know. I was like, wow. Okay, we're getting the historical references in here.
I mean, we're learning about Delaware. We're talking about history. The boss is back, man. We're excited. So SmackDown again, so good throughout the night. We had lots of little feuds going on. We had Reginald with his 24/7 championship. We had Jimmy Uso won against Rey Mysterio in a really good match. So it was just a really flowy night. But the next highlight we're going to talk about is Seth Rollins. So the Edge came out before the break, Edge comes out and you're like, oh snap, Edge is amazing. He's getting all of the glory from the fans. He is just soaking it up. We come back from break. I'm watching this live. We come back from break. I'm like, wait, why is Seth Rollins in the ring? And during the break, Seth Rollins like viciously attacked Edge. Like he went to hit him with something too, I think. Like he hit him with he tried to hit him with a camera or something. They basically had the refs had a pull Seth. Yeah, he tried to hit him with a camera. Pulled Seth off of it. Edge went to the back. And by the time we come back from the commercial break, Seth Rollins is just standing there very smugly. So I'm trying to figure out, did I like that? Did I like missing the action live? Honestly, I think it's fine. It's you utilize the commercial breaks for the audience that's there and all that stuff. And Seth Rollins basically said, if I can't have the Universal Championship, then neither can Edge. So this is a good top tier feud, like upper middle card feud or whatever. So a lot of people are excited to see Seth Rollins versus Edge. Edge has been so great since he's been back. AJ, what did you think about Seth Rollins, his address to Edge?
So first off, I would like to say when we were younger, my older sister, she had the biggest crush on Edge. So I was like, oh, that's Edge. Oh, Edge is amazing. Yes.
Around what year, would you say? Or around what time would you say this crush was?
Oh, was this 'cause, like, he was 8?
Oh, he was the rated R superstar at the time.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I know what rated R means.
Oh. I was like, maybe I won't go into this. Yeah, but his gimmick is that the rated R superstar. I know. I'm just letting you know. And he was just a dirty man back then. And he's changed a lot. He's grown up a bit.
I hope so. It's been like 20 years. But I didn't like it. I didn't like this. I didn't like his suit.
Yeah.
I was like, it ain't for me. It ain't working, homeboy. I think you need to try again. Whoever told you to look fly was lying to you.
What is this pattern? Because to me, it looked like it was like the Great Barrier Reef or something. Like, I think I see an octopus or two mushrooms.
It's maybe giving like me a little southwestern United States, like very like Texicano.
I'm actually glad you brought that up, AJ, because I was just like, what's the obsession with like these ugly suits and like wet, sweaty hair? Because the other one was wearing it too. I think that Edge was wearing something similar. I'm just like,
he had a
t-shirt or something. I'm like, I'm like, you guys are like not good at dressing yourselves. I'm sorry. Yeah. Get a haircut.
Yeah, suit
though for wrestling. Like, I mean, I'm not sure. Look, I'm just impressed because I see we have a picture up and he's like barely bending his knees a little bit. But like, this isn't a tight suit. This looks like a suit he could probably do a full wrestling match in. So,
yeah.
I mean, more people need suits, should wrestle in their suits.
Seth Rollins calls himself the drip god. He is the heel. He is the heel in this. So he's using his dress to be obnoxious. That is the whole point of the gimmick. So you guys, you know, you picked it up real quick.
He owns these suits though. So Is he gonna like wear them somewhere, or is he?
Those shoes are ugly, bro.
Because
he wears them to the TV. He wears them to TV.
He needs to figure out what to do with these suits, because I feel really bad for this man in 10 years when he looks in his closet and he's like, oops, shouldn't have bought these.
So wasn't worth it. Mm-hmm.
Listen, we all got those pictures from 10 years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But not that bad.
Yeah,
I mean, these suits look really good. Just not this one.
This was an off week.
Okay.
It's more obnoxious. It's more of a heel move. You have to appreciate it.
Yeah. Right?
I ain't appreciate it.
You have to.
Yeah, but also, I feel like you have misplaced anger. Like, why are you upset that you're not champion and attacking the man who's not in the title picture? Like, where were you during the contract fight that was happening?
That's so true.
Like, I don't know, but you know what? Do you, boy?
He wishes he thought of the idea to just sign the contract first.
Yeah. I mean, contract signings are going to be even more like laborious in the future. Like, they're going to need guards for contract signings again. Like, they weren't already difficult like before. Mm-hmm.
Or just better contracts. And like literally,
you can't steal
someone's contract. You can't do that. And I just, my whole life, I've been brought up watching WWE. I've seen some people steal some other people's contracts probably once in a while. Who knows? It's a thing. People do all sorts of things with contracts. You could rip up a contract. It's still a contract.
Matt, you seem to be a real stickler with contracts.
I am. That's me. Law and Order. That
like on LegalZoom. Matt is all Get Out.
I just watched Legally Blonde like a couple weeks ago, so maybe that's it.
Yes. All
right. Any last?
Didn't love it. Fell asleep during it. Nothing else to say on this one.
We are not about to come for the classics here.
That's a different podcast.
Right. Any last thoughts on Edge and Seth Rollins here?
I like Edge. I'm sad he got beat up.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's the point.
I have a statement, but it applies to someone else at a later clip as well. Okay. So I'm gonna save it for then.
Okay. Well, let's keep it moving then. So. Like I've been saying, we had a 6-man tag match where we had, it was Big E, Cesaro, King Nakamura versus Apollo Crews and the Dirty Dogs, Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler.
I love their name. Every time you say their name, I feel like it catches me off guard a little bit.
Yes. And this, I mean, nothing like, you know, really, really important happened in this match other than Big E is Mr. Money in the Bank. They're still heating him up. He's staying out of the title picture right now, which makes sense. You don't want him kind of also being another shadow when you have John Cena and Roman and Finn and Baron Corbin. That contract is good for a year, so he can take his time with it. It looks like they're just trying to make sure he's over and get him over. The reason why I even included this clip is just because, again, that crowd reaction to these guys was just so good. It had to be so validating for them because I didn't realize how over Nakamura was again. Like, good on Nakamura and that dude, you guys are probably wondering, Rick Boogs, the guy who played the guitar, played King Nakamura to the ring. Oh. Yeah. You have a question, AJ?
I had no idea who that man was. What was he doing?
Yeah. Yes. He's another wrestler who does, he's in the corner here. He does, Shinsuke's entrance, and Shinsuke Nakamura's entrance music is just so good. The crowd was rocking to it. It's old Shinsuke. Like, Shinsuke Nakamura, when he first came to the WWE, he was so over, just so over, huge. He's been here for like 4 or 5 years now, and they dropped the ball with him, and now it seems like he is finally getting the momentum back up. And of course, the crowd loves Cesaro and they love Big E. So this was just a great match to see all of the good guys just flourish. Commander Aziz tried to interfere in the match. Rick Boogs, you know, Rick Boogs did enough to sacrifice himself. Yeah, he sacrificed himself so that the good guys could come up with a win here. And it was just fun. It was fun. That was definitely a match for the crowd, even though, again, Big E and Apollo have been in every single match together this year, basically. And Apollo is currently the Intercontinental Champion. I really need them to do something with his title a little bit more here, but I just liked it. Yeah. I thought it was fun. Matt, what did you
think? No, I'm just thinking, well, two things come to mind. One is that I feel like this is a situation where, like, well, number one, how long has Apollo been champion? He's definitely coming up on 100 days if he's not there already.
Right. Did he win it?
I don't remember when he won exactly.
Was it WrestleMania or before WrestleMania?
Or after, maybe.
Or after? Oh, it's been a long time.
Well, but then they're definitely going to mention his number. It does. It does.
Yeah, because he's just been fighting.
They had all of those matches together.
Yeah.
They've had like almost. Probably 15 I mean, definitely 15 matches by this point.
Yeah, I think it's like up to 20 something now. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was one thing that came up for me, that they're probably just, that they're okay with it being on him. It pads statistics too. I don't know how much those statistics matter, but anyway, like, the other thing about this is that who from this match, like, debuted on the main roster most recently, because these guys have all been around for like a pretty significant amount of time. Like,
yeah, I mean,
obviously Cesaro and Dolph Ziggler have been in WWE for like at least a decade. More than a decade for each of them.
So has Big E at this point.
Big E is probably a decade now too.
Yeah.
Nakamura, probably like 8. He's getting up there. I don't know.
He came in 2016, 2015. Yeah, so it's been about 5.
So maybe Apollo is like the newest one on the main roster, and he's even been around for like 4 years.
Yeah, he came. 2017, I think, was Apollo.
Damn,
yeah,
numbers. So, but yeah, that's I just thought it's interesting that they've all been around so much, and WWE has. Actually, this whole year really found ways to use them without being like, ooh, let's just move on to the new star, which, like, for me, I'm so used to the let's move on to a new star type of thing that I kind of was craving that a little bit. But you have to appreciate that they're just giving all of these guys a spot to shine, which is kind of cool in 2021.
Right. And I think, again, being back in front of the audience for the first time, they're really trying to see, they're trying to gauge where the interest is. And if we're going by this match, I would probably say Nakamura got like a lot of the more cheers, and he probably should be the one to take the belt off of Apollo, I would think here.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Roman. At some point, whoa! But like, you could see that match happen. Like, yeah. That match could happen if they built it the right way. Yeah.
Isaiah, what did you think of this match?
There was a lot going on. I felt like it was a bad dream, but. Like, there was just, like, out of nowhere, like, the guitar guy got involved, and then there's some general. I did think, I forget his name, so I apologize. The one bald guy wearing yellow and black, though. What's his name?
Cesaro, right?
Cesaro, yeah.
I liked him. It was the moment where they were trying to tag the other guy, and then he punched him in the face, and they kept going. I thought that was funny. But there was a lot going on, but it was interesting. I think when it comes to these matches, the six, the multi-person matches are always the most confusing to me.
As a casual, I really do think that would be the most confusing part, especially since you don't get to see the entrances and the clips and stuff like that. So I can completely understand that.
But also the story is like, you get so many intersecting stories in in a match like this. That's not, because in one case you could have a match that's like 6-man tag match with 3 people on each side, and it could be like teams against each other. Like in NXT, we have a dynamic where it's like two stables going against each other, which is cool. But then when you have like all these different stories like, crossing over, it does kind of get confusing. And it makes it so that you don't focus on like the one, you're not focused on one story in the match. And I feel like matches are best when you have like one story that you could focus on and follow.
Yeah. And I would probably also just add real quickly that, again, harping on this, this is one of those matches that was carried by the live crowd because it was purely their reactions to the stuff that they were seeing that was really getting it over, as opposed to, you know, pandemic era, just staring at the screens and stuff like that, just watching the same match over and over. So I think this was definitely built for the live audience here. AJ? Thoughts?
I enjoyed it. I had fun. I like Homeboy did a standing bat flip. I was like, bet that was awesome.
Yes.
I noticed the crowd don't know how to count because he only spun around 8 times, not 10. So, you know.
You got to pad those stats. Wrestling is all about padding the numbers.
That's it.
Not accuracy. They're crushing the numbers there.
Like, legit. They got to 10. I was like, that wasn't 10, was it? I rewinded it to count.
In-depth journalism.
This is what you come here for. Well, I came here for.
Yes.
I learned that if you're in a bad situation, all you need is a good guitar solo and everything's going to be okay.
Yes.
And I liked when the music ended, not the music ended, when the match ended, there was like music playing. I was like, oh, I bumped to this.
Yes. Shinsuke got the pin off Kinshasa. This was good. I just like everybody in it. It just was one of those ones that matches that make you smile. And if you watch the show, you do get a lot more with like Pat McAfee just jamming on the announce desk, even though he's being threatened by Robert Roode Robert Roode was like threatening him not to dance next to him, but Pat McAfee got a Pat McAfee. This is amazing though. The announce team is just so spot on here in SmackDown. But that's it for our SmackDown clips. Any final thoughts on just the SmackDown highlights before we go into our next set?
They're exciting. I like them.
It was so happy. I had so much fun. It was a good one.
Just to definitively state it, was Sasha the highlight of the show, Mari?
Yes. I mean, she was. But this was a great show. So, like... She's always going to be my highlight of the show, but I would say everything rose to that level this episode.
I got highlight vibes from her, but that's what typically happens. You know what I would love though? It would be like Sasha. I almost said Sasha and Bailey. Sasha and Bianca in the main event, like consistently, like opening shows and closing shows. That would be nice because I mean, like Roman, John Cena, great, whatever. Who are they? We don't care about Roman Reigns and John Cena. We care about Bianca Belair and Sasha the Banks.
Sasha came back one night and main evented, like just off rip, like that. Her power, her mind.
That's right.
All right, again,
she probably did manifest it, knowing her.
All the highlights and clips can be found in the show notes and the show description. We're gonna get into the Raw highlights, and this is the reason why I wanted to start off with SmackDown and very fun, light amazingness of SmackDown, because now we gotta talk about Raw. I'm gonna keep it real with you, Chief.
Keep on.
If we didn't have to podcast about this, like, I would not watch Raw. Like, I'm pretty sure I would not watch Raw because it's just not, it just does not feel as cohesive as SmackDown. It has a whole extra hour. Yes, I say.
Like, what's going on here? Like, I feel like they're trying to be like Marvel. Like I like the costumes were like I'm just like, what's going on here? I was just like, is this the same thing? I was very confused.
We're all confused.
Get Nikki Cross some hand sanitizer. She's been touching way too many people these last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so true. Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. But I love when the baby faces hit hands with people. But you're right. That's not good.
But
oh
like
my
this,
God.
This particular picture on our YouTube is like kind of, oh, just, it's literally all hands. You don't even see man. People's foot. Ooh.
Dang wow. it. Now I'm just going to be thinking of COVID every time that happens. I was so excited watching the baby faces come out.
Oh, I was already there last week when there was like a clip. After, I think behind the scenes clip from YouTube of her like in the crowds, like hugging people, like,
oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
COVID's not over. Yeah. Yeah.
Mess.
Yes.
At least she's a superhero. Well, I guess she's not even a superhero. She's almost a superhero. So that's not going to help her.
And
too
it's
much.
Not Nikki Cross. Remember, it's Nikki ASH.
That's right. That's right. Now, wait, if I had to point to something that I really did appreciate about this please. Show, and I'm so thankful that WWE had this picture in the on the website. There was this fan, front row, aww. Whoever they are, holding up a Nikki Ash sign, and Nikki, as Nikki did,
good
spreading
for them.
Germs, walking on the way yep. down to the ring, like did the high fives and like posed with the fan. This same fan was on the end of the show, as we later saw, basically just having Nikki Ash beaten down and like rubbed in their face. So yes, it's like this is all I'm saying. I like the long term storytelling over the course of the night of I'm here for the fans. Well, the fans are also going to watch you get your
your butt beat. Yeah. Yes. And I mean, apparently this crowd is very cooperative because the rumblings are
that's a good word
that,
for a crowd.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
I mean, well, I mean, the dirt sheets and a lot of the news are saying that she was booed at house shows. Nikki Ash was booed at house shows from what I heard.
Mm.
So, I mean, they played ball at least. They, you know, she did get a reaction. You know, she did get more cheers than anything. So, yeah. But what we're referring to is we have a clip here of Nikki Ash, Nikki almost a superhero, the new women's champion after cashing in Money in the Bank last week. She gives us another very inspirational, raw, pure babyface promo. She's interrupted by Charlotte Flair, who wants a one-on-one match, who then Rhea Ripley comes out. Feeling like a complete afterthought. We get a Charlotte versus Nikki match at the end of the night? Yeah, we get Charlotte versus
closing
Nikki.
The show, right?
Yeah. And Nikki lost.
But to like roll it back a step, you kind of brushed over Rhea and she got a
everybody brushed
pop.
Over Rhea.
No, the fans were really into her when she was in the ring. She got a good chant, which to me, that was interesting because no one's done her any favors with the booking. So the fact that fans actually cheered for her was notable.
Yeah, I was talking storyline wise. Charlotte and Nikki Ash act like she wasn't 1,000%. Even there. Yeah, she wasn't even there. The crowd.
Yeah, that was kind of weird actually to like have a match. Have it where it's like, okay, you have all three of you in the ring. You all hate each other. Rhea, forget about you. We're going to put these two in a match tonight. Like, that's what we got.
It made no sense. But then they did say, no, all triple threat at SummerSlam. Triple threat at SummerSlam. So it is in ink that Nikki A.S.H.
Almost a superhero.
Charlotte, I know. And Rhea will be a triple threat at SummerSlam, which means we have another 3 weeks of what looks like is going to be Charlotte repeatedly beating up on Nikki Ash. I don't know. AJ, what did you think about this?
So I have a lot of thoughts about this. First and foremost,
please.
I think Seth Defer needs to talk to the woman Seth who was wearing the peach coat and her suit. Her suit was good. The
Seth
woman.
Yeah. Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
So he needs to get his
yeah, like Kirsten was on point. Like she knew what she was doing. She knew the assignment. So
she knew the assignment.
She did. Now Miss Nikki, she got on my nerves. Like, first off, who wants to almost be a superhero? That is like the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, you can all almost be superheroes. Like, no, I want to be a superhero. You never heard someone be like, I want to almost be a doctor. Like,
but
no,
in your defense,
I hope not.
It's like taking a half step. You know, I'm like, I almost want to be a doctor, so I don't need to go to medical school, right? And you're not claiming to be a doctor. I'm almost a doctor, but I'm not a doctor.
So okay, it's still...
so when I do the medical things on you, you're liable if I mess up. Yeah.
That's it. Just if like, I superhero, it's not my fault.
Superhero, it's like, I can't fly, but I'll wear a mask. And if you forget that I'm not a superhero, that's on you. And if you see me get beat up, that's also on you, because I'm not a superhero. So what do you expect? Like, it's brilliant.
I mean, I think this is the important for her, though. It's mainly, I think they just need like an icon for the children to look up to, and they were like, merch. Okay. I'm a big merch person. I'm telling you, they need it. This is a person for the kids. This is not for us. The people who are like, oh, this is crazy.
Where's your merch?
Kids are probably like, oh, this is lit. Don't ask about it. But they're probably like, they're probably like
fans, masks.
I have shirts. Headbands. We're not talking about that right now.
You can get all that from a Party City, like straight up.
Yeah, but like the kids are probably like, oh, like this is the coolest thing ever. Like, oh, this is like Marvel and DC. And then us were like, what is this cringe stuff? Like, what's going on? it's interesting, you know.
Yeah.
AJ, you said you had many thoughts. Yeah.
I enjoyed Charlotte. Yes, I really enjoyed Charlotte, but then she started attacking the crowd. I was like, what did I do? Like, I was like, she was like, y'all were booing me. It's like, if you're that affected by booze, ma'am, you're in the wrong industry. And she was like, and then she said, how are you supposed to be a face of the division or something like that? And I was like, you know what? Points are being made. Like, I think, I don't feel it. Like, she said, I brought the star power. And when she came out, it's like, I feel it with Charlotte. With Nikki, I feel like, you know, I want to be the star. And it's like,
Jesus. Oh.
She looks good at that.
We all.
That's the thing about Charlotte. Charlotte is a pro. Yeah. Like, that's, I feel like, I know, Mari, you definitely did a 180 on Charlotte from like the start of this year. And I feel like I appreciate Charlotte. I wasn't really against Charlotte, but you were making points back then about how they were booking her and what they were doing. This is so much better. Just because, like, you know, if Charlotte's going to beat up anyone viciously in a one-sided burial, I don't mind it being the almost superhero, because she's not a superhero, so she could get beat up.
It too, Matthew.
She doesn't have any powers.
I've always had problems, massive problems with Charlotte's booking. Never with Charlotte the performer, because, like I said, when Charlotte is on, she's on. But this is just between being cringeworthy to just not benefiting anybody but Charlotte. It's just very, I don't want to see it, but like Isaiah said, maybe it's not for me because I watched it a few times because some people were complaining that Charlotte was like no selling a lot of Nikki's moves. And I would agree. Yeah. She was definitely, I mean, Charlotte doesn't sell that much to begin with. Let's talk about it. So to then really no sell it, it's very, you can tell. I couldn't tell if she was just no selling or if she was pulling the whole Randy Orton of it all, being bored with the storyline in itself and not putting in the 100% here. But Nikki Ash, people kept going back and forth between calling her Nikki ASH, Nikki Ash. Charlotte accidentally called her Nikki Cross, and she caught her. Yeah, she was. You could tell she was like, dang
fine
it.
Her.
Yeah. Rhea came up real short. I noticed once, but it's hard. Nikki, for you guys to know, Nikki Cross, that's her original name. She had that name for 6 years in WWE. Oh, wow. Yeah, they just changed it to Nikki. We're still not sure because we don't know if it's ASH or Nikki Ash. Oh. So it's right. Like they keep interchanging it. So
I think it's Nikki Ash. I think at some point, because they're not going to go back to Nikki Cross. So no, they can't. Maybe it's like the slow transition over to. They have to mention the almost a superhero thing because that's part of her gimmick. But like, right. I don't know. I see a world that. Where she, hopefully she's not wearing a mask anymore at some point, and then they'll just call her Nikki Ash. Maybe that's like what they're doing.
But see, this is my kind of problem here. I don't really mind the gimmick itself. I get the right. gimmick. The booking right. is just failing the gimmick right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I've been said it. She should have never won the Money in the Bank, and she should have never became the Raw Women's Champion if they're constantly treating her like it goes past kind of treating her as the underdog, but they're just showing that she's completely not on the level of either Rhea or Charlotte. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, that should not be your champion.
True, which isn't necessarily true because like not. If you think back to when she was in NXT, she right. had a number of awesome matches. I remember off the top of my head, like her matches with Asuka were phenomenal. Yes.
Ember, but yeah.
I think like to your point, Mari, the thing that I noted as I was watching this, there were a few things, but like one is Charlotte needs to wrestle in a less heel way. Like she needs to be more of a cowardly heel, I think, than the type of heel she is, because it actually does kind of make the opponent look bad. Because like there was a spot, Charlotte, one thing is, actually, maybe she needs to be more of a heel because she was doing all of the chops, which mm-hmm. she shouldn't be chopping people because the fans love when you do chops because they love to do the woo, you know? Mm-hmm. And so less chops, I think, would be great for her. But also there was a point where she was chopping Nikki in one of the corners and then Nikki, you know, as a worker, as a wrestler, leaned back to take a chop. I feel like she thought she was going to get chopped. Charlotte hesitated and then just did a slap across Nikki's face. And to me, I was like, ooh, that just actually makes her look bad. Like that makes the character and the worker kind of look a little bit bad too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. But I mean, nothing against the characters. It's just, I don't think that the way that they're Charlotte's heel work doesn't work to get a new star over.
Never has.
I'm not going to lie. Mm. I just don't believe it, like with Miss Nikki or Rhea, like she was a complete like who afterthought in this entire thing. Like she seems so out of place there. Like I don't believe like these people are like credible to like Charlotte. Like who is that woman? Her name's not Normani. Like on Twitter, she's on Twitter a lot because she's awesome. Oh. The black woman, like she's.
What's her name? I don't know her name, but I was on like I know who you're talking about.
But she's like awesome because she's like trending all the time or something like that.
Yeah, she's like a black woman, a wrestler. Yes. I don't remember her name.
Oh, Naomi.
No. Wait, Naomi.
Yes.
Of Naomi. Yeah.
I thought you were talking. Yeah, we thought you were talking about like a Twitter user.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the wrestler. I'm talking about the wrestler. No.
Oh yeah. Naomi constantly trends. Yes.
Yeah. Like, I feel like if she was like fighting Charlotte for like the title, I'd believe that a lot more.
I'm telling you. Can you say that louder for the people in the back? I'm telling you. Yeah, it's
they
just,
need to hear that.
And like Matt said, like Nikki Cross, Nikki Ash, Nikki ASH is a very good competitor. She is a very good women's wrestler. They're booking her like a scrub. They are literally booking her like a scrub.
She's almost a superhero. This is perfect. This is exactly. And you know what? I will point. I didn't mention this earlier, but one thing she needs to get rid of the butterfly stuff because that's actually really triggering for wrestling fans, as we know. There used to be a Divas Championship, which was the butterfly, pink butterfly belt. It represented like all sorts of things that the women
and
fans loathe to this day.
There's a lot of Divas stands, so please don't knock the Divas stands.
I was watching
the Divas stands are fine, but the butterfly belt,
Mickie James and Michelle McCool and them.
No, there you go, AJ. I actually have no problem with the Divas. I get like the stigma the Divas era has on it, but that butterfly belt, and she's there being like, "Ooh, I love butterflies." Like, please don't get them to just bring back the Divas Championship already if you're gonna do this.
No, this was
very triggering for me.
I told you,
for you, clearly.
And the fans booed her. The fans booed her when she
this is for kids. So. This is not for. I'm telling you, for kids. Yeah.
And I agree.
Mr.
Your
Merch,
champion. I'm not a fan of. I don't mind your champion being an underdog in a feud, especially if they're a face. Like, you know, that's been done before. That's happened, and you can do it in such a way where you feel like your champion is being menaced and they can possibly lose their belt. This is something completely different. Nikki ASH was not over yet. She was that gimmick, guys, is like relatively new. That's why we're still trying to figure out the name. She's only had the gimmick on for like maybe 2 months. Something like that. I think, right? It started like June-ish, around June.
I mean, basically a month. Well, a month. She was kind of transitioning into it.
Yeah.
She had the mask and everything. But yeah, it's been about a month that she's been
I mean, we would be remiss to say that there was a point like right after WrestleMania where she had she did beat Charlotte and Rhea. But even back then, those wins, they were made to be like a fluke. They're made to be like fluke type wins. So like the belt should never make the champion. The champion should make the belt. That is like an old wrestling adage. You do not put a belt on somebody to get them over, you know, to get them, you know, the crowd invested. Mm-hmm. The crowd should be invested and you reward them with the title. And that's not what I'm seeing here with Nikki. They're trying to present her as a deeply underdog, unfavored in all of her matches while she's the champion. And that just does not work sometimes, especially when you're going up against Charlotte, who's one of the greatest women's heels of all time, who literally, like AJ said, she had to resort to calling the crowd names. That is the bottom level heel tactics in order to get the reaction that they want, because people just do not want to cheer for Nikki, or you know, they don't, you know, she has to make sure the reactions are good, so she has to tear down the crowd like that. So I just don't like any of it. I don't like Charlotte beating her, like look like she didn't even break a sweat doing it, and then afterwards she told her, she's like, I can beat you any day, any of the week. And then Nikki just continued with inspirational nonsense like da-da-da-da-da-da. You know what, let's do it again next week. No, we don't want to see this again next week. I really don't.
You know,
where is this going?
I did. I have to say, when the show ended, I got really curious about that, because I was thinking, like, what are they going to do next week for her? How is she going to get beat up? I mean, maybe we're going to see her get like thrown off the Titantron, off the big screen into stack of tables or something. I just want to see her get like beaten up Jeff Hardy style, and you know,
Jesus, man. I know.
No. I mean, in a way that gets her over, and then she crawls out of the table.
Give me
another one, and then we get
something
else. Like maybe they'll pull an AEW and have like a pizza cutter, and Charlotte will get her with, you know, one of those or something.
But so like, before you went too far, I like the idea of her being like a resilient person. Like,
that could be good.
There's something there. I think if they just keep really having her take these hits and coming back, I think that could be
a good point.
Way to do it. But it is really pitiful to get beaten up all the time, I will admit.
Yeah, that could be how you turn a children's gimmick into a adult gimmick by
like how
wrestling
do you make
fans
it,
love when you beat the crap out of people.
Are they selling? I don't think that they're selling Nikki Ash masks yet. But they have to. That's what I thought of too. Like when it from the beginning, I was like, well,
Matt, we're still waiting for the glow belt. We're still waiting for the glow belt. So we just never know. Yeah.
Sad.
All right. Any, again, final thoughts on the Charlotte, Nikki, Ash, Rhea of it all?
She said, pick up my mic.
Disrespectful.
Charlotte is, she doesn't play. Like,
she is so disrespectful.
I can't, I know. I can't wait till somebody comes and shuts her up, man. Come on, Becky. Yeah.
She's ready for the challenge.
So, yeah. Next, we got Bobby Lashley. This was, talk about watching people get beat up. So Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin come out because basically Bobby Lashley and MVP, they're on that whole kick, like nothing's bringing us down. We are at the top of the game. Ashley is focused now. And so Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin's the two guys on the left here. They are former members of the Hurt Business, which is what Bobby Lashley and MVP were. And they were dropped like a sack of potatoes earlier this year, and they came to confront him. We get a 2-on-1 handicap match, and man, oh man, oh man, Bobby Lashley is not playing around. He, what?
I don't even know what. I'm just bothered by this whole segment. What was this? What was going on here?
Yeah. Cedric and Shelton came out of catering long enough to help put over Bobby.
We'll get into the match, but like this is a situation where I almost feel like the story would have been better if they were just like, yeah, this was a plant situation. Like, I asked them to come out, like we used to be friends. They didn't have a plan, did they?
Probably not. Probably not here. There's not much to say. I mean, they really came out, they got wrecked, and then they got stacked in the 1-2-3. Yeah, so stacking. We love a good stacking. So Bobby Lashley is just, I feel bad for Cedric and Shelton, but I really like Bobby Lashley is now, he's getting that, they're giving him that dominant Bobby Lashley style, just rip him and shred him style run with MVP just being smug there. I love it. So this makes sense. I love this on the way to Goldberg, because I don't know if you guys know, he will be facing Goldberg at SummerSlam. So yes, yes, that Goldberg. Yes, yes, no, he Goldberg. Is 50 something years old. Yes. AJ,
still I see your bald.
Face. Yes, yes, and yes. Everything you're thinking.
Okay.
So they have to make him look dominant going into it. So this is one way to do it. I like it. I like it.
One way. Definitely one way to do it. Yeah, I don't. That was look, it's a weird way to have. You know what? I'm okay with it. This is good. Let's keep this. This is great. I'm just like, okay, well, like the Hurt Business was a group that was together 5 months ago. And we had Bobby Lashley. Months. We had MVP. We had Cedric Alexander. We had Shelton Benjamin on the same side. And then they were unceremoniously broken up a week or two before WrestleMania.
Yeah, and it didn't make any sense.
Everyone was upset about it. Like, there were news stories, like, why did this happen? What was the choice? Whatever. And then we have them come out, and it's like, well, it's a big family reunion. We're in the middle of the summer. We can have a cookout and everything. And we didn't get the cookout. We got
black on black crime.
We got, what was that, Mari? We got black.
I said black on black crime.
Okay, just making sure that was that came through clear.
This was the moment I want to send you the gif of this is upsetting me and my ancestors.
Yep. Exactly. So true. I mean, I like that WWE is consistently referencing history in the past. Like, normally they just try to make us forget.
You were talking about 5 months ago, not
5 months ago. Yes. Yes, not the ancestors. I'm talking about the recent past. So I like it. It closed the book. It's like, okay, the chapter is closed. Bobby Lashley is like, it's me from here on out. That the ladies, chapter closed. Hurt Business, chapter closed. Me and MVP, we rocking it out. I really hope they don't take MVP from him. I don't think they will. But
what? No.
I'm just saying.
Then who's really the problem? Is it him or is it the people he's with?
True. I mean,
that seems offended. I'm so sorry.
He's champion. But probably a little bit of both. It's usually like it's never either one or the other.
Yeah.
He needs to surround himself by better company.
Were the Hurt Business still around when you were on the first time? You remember?
I feel like they were because I did recognize some of these people. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like, what, February?
Yeah, they were.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, they literally broke up like in a couple. It was only a couple weeks before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Probably early April or late March that they actually broke up.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Ooh, AJ, anything else? It's sad. It just hurt our hearts to see all of that.
I'm not gonna lie. Bobby Lashley speared homeboy and I got hurt. Like, no, my God.
Vicious. Just vicious. Well, moving on to something like I really liked. One of the reasons why we kind of opened our episode here. Mansoor and Ali teamed up against Ali's former teammates of Retribution, Mace and T-Bar. First and foremost, I like this match because it was just very, like, very fun, very flippy, very, like, avoiding. Mace and T-Bar, like, Mace and T-Bar are great wrestlers. You know, Dijak and what's his original name? It starts with a D.
Dio Madden.
Yes, Dio Madden. Yes. They are actually really good wrestlers and very charismatic to boot. So it sucks that they're kind of getting this ascension style, like tag team where they're just being fed to people. But again, Raw has absolutely no tag team division, it feels like. So I guess this is why I'm very excited about Mansoor and Ali starting this new tag team. I love their dynamic. Again, we have Ali is the pessimist who's been around for a few years now, who came in like Mansoor. He was like, I'm gonna shine a light. I'm gonna be the light of the division. I'm gonna, you know, represent for my people because Ali is a proud Muslim man. And he was slowly jaded over time to the point where his last character, when he was teaming up with Mason T-Bar, he was the leader of a group called Retribution. And he basically was like, I want to tear this whole industry down to the ground. I'm not getting half of what I deserve. It's so good. His character work.
Oh, he had some big goals.
Those promos. Yes. Those promos that they never showed on TV.
This is the thing about wrestling. That actually bothers me because his motivation was so strong. And even the Retribution stable, which debuted probably about a year ago and did not really have too much steam for too long.
Yeah. But
they were coming in. Everyone was talking about them. They were like, ooh, this is the hot thing. This is the storyline of the summer. And it just
fizzled.
It's not even that it fizzled. It felt like it was just dropped kind of.
Yeah.
It just was there at some point. Kind of unfortunate, but.
And Mustafa Ali just does everything he can. Like, I love following him on social media because he puts his promos straight out on Twitter and they're just so good. So then to have Mansoor, who was discovered when WWE went to Saudi Arabia and did some training camps in Saudi Arabia, Mansoor, people kind of felt like he was a diversity hire, to say the least, because I mean, that's what they used to call him, because they found him in Saudi Arabia. He would only come out when they would go to the Saudi shows. But Matt, am I lying?
No, I'm just like, I'm just taking this thing because I never really thought about it like that. But also wasn't he brand new to wrestling at Here's the thing that was actually more messed up. The thing that was more messed up was that they put him on the shows in Saudi Arabia at the time because he was brand spanking new to wrestling.
They had this man
win, I think, like a 30-20 man battle royal of some
sort.
His first match or so.
He was in like three Saudi shows. I think it's been like three Saudi shows, four Saudi shows, however many Saudi shows. He was always on the ticket. They always made sure he was on the ticket. He was never on regular TV or NXT, and he always won. He was undefeated at all the Saudi shows, which fine with me. I don't care. But, you know, some people, you know, felt some type of way about that, you know. So finally, he finally made his like Raw debut a few weeks ago. He's finally on Raw and he's hype, and I love it. I love the enthusiasm of the like, yes, 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 I'm excited. And he and Mustafa is like, no, I'm going to beat this joy out of you. They started off as opponents. They are now tag team. They're doing the whole, I love a good odd couple tag team. So I'm excited for them. And again, this match with Mace against Mason T-Bar was just so fun. All the flips, all the dives. Mason T-Bar kind of giving off that stupid big guy energy. Just they might as well have just ran into each other at one point. You know what I'm saying? Just because they are just so good at doing what they do. So I like this. We had a little clip backstage of Mansoor being so excited that they're going to be teammates. Mustafa tried to keep them down, him level. Like, I guess we'll team again. Whatever. And it's, I love it. I love them together. Isaiah, what did you think about seeing these men tag in the ring?
I thought it was fine. Out of all the ones I saw for Raw so far, this was like at least like a little bit more competitive, I think, where the other two seemed like they were just kind of like complete, like no competition whatsoever. I thought it was cool.
Mm-hmm. AJ?
I love this with all my heart. This was amazing. It brought me so much joy and happiness. Mansoor must be protected at all costs. I love this. Yeah, so much fun. I enjoyed it so much. Like, give me more.
Like, yes, it was like protect Mansoor.
Yes, he was like one of the highlights before Friday night. Like, for me personally.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Oh, even in the match itself, like I love the story of this match more than most other matches we saw this week, actually.
Especially on Raw.
especially on Raw, because during the match, like, I just love how vocal Mustafa and Mansoor are. And there was the whole back and forth at one point. This whole match was just a lot of fun, but back and forth.
He's like, get him.
What are you doing? Like, that was awesome. Like, just marking out for the wrestling while in the middle of it. I wonder how this idea came up, but especially because Mustafa was, and they talked about this at some point on TV too, but he was like a Chicago cop. Yeah. And I kind of feel like this is like a buddy cop kind of thing where it's like a naive one, but then like who's Mansoor, but then you also have like the wily, skeptical, hardened grizzled veteran. He's Mustafa's a good old Carl Winslow. We love it.
Yes, that's good. That's good. This was probably a personal highlight for me for Raw as well. I just love the energy and the vibes. Big vibe. Okay. So we also had Reginald defending his 24/7 championship belt in the ring, which is like, you can tell Vince likes Reginald.
I just need to say, please, sir, tuck your shirt into your pants, not into your underwear. I was like this. I noticed that as I watched it, and I was like, what are you doing?
Well, he was,
I guess he's athletic. There's probably he was trying. You know, what do I know? I can't.
He tucked it into the things. Underwear thinking that it would help. It did not help. He should have just tightened the belt here. Yeah. I love R-Truth. How is R-Truth commentating on his own match while he's in the match? Like,
that's impressive.
That is amazing. That crowd must have really liked that, because I don't know if you guys know, but the commentary team, you can only hear them through the TV broadcast. So when you're in a live audience, you don't hear none of the commentary. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like you just hear the wrestlers and the cheering, you know, people cheering and stuff like that. So you don't get any of the story that's being fed to you via the commentary desk. So R-Truth being mic'd up during this match was hilarious. And I know it had to have played well for the crowd. It had to. He's like, okay, all right, what you doing here? What? Okay, catch it now. Like, I was like, what is happening, R-Truth? Like, for real. And if for the old heads, R-Truth is a K-Quick. He's been around in
25
WWE for
years,
like,
ago.
Yeah.
Probably when he debuted.
I'm going to say maybe longer than that. Yeah, he's been in the business for a very
totally
long time. He used to run with the Grandmaster Sexay and Scotty Too Hotty, I think.
He probably ran with everybody. You know, he's been around. R-Truth is seen a lot.
The man, yeah. Yeah, we got Reginald doing his escape, his gymnast style. I mean, the Olympics are on, so he was very inspired, I'm assuming. But the 24, just to give you guys, the 24/7 championship, it is literally, it can be defended at any time, 24/7. That's why people just run in. But hardly ever do you get matches for it. Like, when it is an actual 24/7 championship match, that's the only time when people can't, like, interfere and try and grab the belt. After that match is over, that's why they all scrambled in and Reggie just did all the flips out.
All the flips.
He did like the whole floor routine all the way up.
It was amazing. I was like, how, sir?
Ringed his way. Bam, 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 bam. And he's like in his car by the time he finishes backflipping. Like,
yeah, what is the bring it on? Like full twisting backhand spring backstroke, full twisting layout. Like that is what he did. That man just
He's a modern day Gabrielle Union. That's right.
He feels like Reginald feels like a meme though, because it's like, all right, when I was over here before, like he was getting beat up by Bianca. Like she like beat him up.
Yeah.
And then the other time I was at work actually, and someone had it on the TV and he got jumped by a bunch of people too. I'm like, well, so like, is this a gimmick? Like he just gets beat up. But I'm like, oh, okay. He can actually like fight. Okay. I was like, what is his significance here? But I thought it was funny. I like him.
Yeah, so what we got was we got a exclusive. He did this basically the same thing on SmackDown. That's why I just didn't include it in the SmackDown clips. He did same routine. He flipped out. He evaded. That's all it's pretty cool. That's why I think that belt works for him, because he just flips and evades and all of that. But we got a network exclusive where he explains that he is not actually from France. He was faking his French accent because he originally started as Carmella Sommelier.
Okay, Rachel Dolan's on. Like, you can't just admit that. You can't admit that. It's not okay.
Yeah. It's how is not. Nobody else, you're right.
Why is not everyone? They do this all the time. Kofi Kingston was Jamaican and then one day he wasn't Jamaican.
Yeah.
And it's like very confusing because I'm not sure how fake Reggie's accent is, because I couldn't tell from the promo.
Right. That's why I was like, he said he's from Missouri. That's why, like, when he normally talked with the French accent, it was barely there anyways, which is, again, if you're going to do an accent, and it's like subtle, I'm fine with it. And who among us have not lied on a resume for a job?
But we not about our accents.
Yeah, not about accents, but yes. I love this. I again, if you're gonna snatch an accent, if you're gonna add one, give us a reason for it. And I'm down. He was like, you know what? I wanted to get my foot in the door at WWE. Yeah. You know, there's a post for Somali. It would have been really funny if he said, you know, and you know, WWE normally doesn't need you to have experience before you do a job. That would have been a funny little shade there.
How did he fake that? Because maybe it's like, oh, I don't need a like a work visa or anything. I'm all good. Like maybe he had dual citizenship.
Well, technically, there are U.S. sommeliers. So, you know, he
claimed to be from France. And he wasn't. Right? They didn't figure that out. No one figured that out.
It's not like Carmelo was going to figure it out. I think he was giving her the same wine every night. Like
that's true. She probably doesn't like check the paperwork. He said he found a poster somewhere in St. Louis. So it doesn't sound.
Well, he said it was posted. I don't think it was a poster, but like
posted. I thought he said it was Indeed. A poster.
I don't know. I just thought of an Indeed posting.
I think it was on a bus stop.
I also thought it was on a bus stop. I'm not. No.
Oh my god! Okay, so maybe all right. So maybe
that's what I thought.
I mean, I don't know. He didn't say a bus stop, but
he said a poster, and I viewed like the side of the
poster. Poster. Oh well, dang. All right, shut me up then. So AJ, you're okay with the lion and the flipping and the.
Well, like, I'm okay with the lion. get your way into the door, my guy. Like, however you have to do it, get your way in and then like flip your way into a championship. I love it. Like, I'm here for it. R-Truth is a straight up trip. Like, I loved him on the microphone that he was fighting in, and I was so impressed with Reginald. Why do people want to be 24 champion again? Like, that seems like more stress than it's worth.
Pad the stats.
That's a great question.
This is the type of thing, too, where he, like, don't expose the scam that you're doing when you're mid-scam. Like, just wait a little longer, because this wasn't it. Like, I could see him being world champion and being like, I lied to all of you at that point. But now we know he's a liar and he can't be trusted.
Dang. I like it. He pulled the cord before anything. Yeah, before it got too bad. I'm okay with this.
I liked it. I don't like being treated like a fool. And really made to be a fool, because
that is so bad.
I thought he was from France. I was like, oh, I like this. I literally had this thought last week when I saw him. I was like, you know what? I like we get a black man from France, which we've never had in wrestling. It's all a lie.
Are you okay, Matt? Do you need a hug?
No, actually,
no. I will say, what was the whole jacket thing going on? Because like, I hated that when he kept trying to like hit him and like he threw it at his face and it took him like why does it take so long to take a jacket off your face? It was like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's wrestling. Same reason it takes wrestling. Forever for a ref to recover from a ref bump, I guess.
I will say, as someone who has had clothing thrown at their face, it is like very discombobulating. You don't have to. It's part of it's like being dazed. Like, did this just happen to me? Like, why did this happen to me? And it's like, oh, let me get this off me. So, yeah, I get it.
All right. So, that's it for the Raw highlights. They can be found in our handy dandy playlist. Let's move on to NXT because, again, we got some more rollover here from NXT. Again, NXT was good this week. Not great. But I love this Samoa Joe.
Speaking of paperwork. Go on, Mari.
Yes, more and more contracts. So Samoa Joe is telling William Regal, like, I want Karrion Kross. I want him at TakeOver. He is the NXT champion. He's been making appearances on Raw. But Samoa Joe wants him because last week, Karrion Kross beat up William Regal. So Joe makes a very... This was... Hey, talk about almost passing the bar. This is a very good lawyerly presentation of you know, a way to get what you want. So he brings William Regal down. He said, there's a three-step way that we can make this happen. He said, here is my resignation as a WWE official.
He had a contract some papers for that.
Yeah, he had a contract for that. He then said, here is my contract for me to return to active on the active roster to allow him to compete. You know, and William Regal signed that
contract. He probably typed it up himself. I'm picturing him with his little again, glasses and everything.
Legal Zoom, Rocket, whatever. And then finally, a contract for him to face Karrion Kross at NXT TakeOver 36 for the NXT Championship. And William Regal relented and signed that one as well. Matt, as our resident contract expert, what did you think of this?
I thought that Samoa Joe had a really nice pad folio that he was carrying around with the little NXT logo on it. I also appreciate that he had three contracts that were all probably legally sound and not questionable, like the contracts that we see on main roster TV. Who carries around three contracts? And you didn't even, and William Regal didn't even read the contracts before. I appreciated that Joe was like, here is my legal mind. I can imagine Joe did like maybe like a month of law school before dropping out and becoming a wrestler, and he's bringing all of that energy into this segment, and it worked.
Yeah.
That was it.
Again, this week we got another contract signing that was different than most. So very interesting. AJ,
three contracts.
How's your signature look?
It's not good. But, you know.
What'd you think of this?
I like this. First off, I was like, whoa, Samoa Joe's here. Like, no. Like, I haven't watched in a minute, but Matt, I think I talked about Matt about how I used to watch TNA. So when I saw Samoa Joe, I was like, oh, this is cool. What is homeboy doing?
Yeah.
And then he was like, okay, first I quit. Two, retire me back. So I was like, okay. But I wanted William Regal to be like, I'm good. I'm good. You just quit for no reason.
No,
I know. I wanted him to like, haha, sucker. But I know that's not looking Regal style. But like, I enjoy this. I'm excited. I can't wait to see Samoa wrestle again because I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Oh, William Regal has the best upset face in the world.
He does.
Like, that was good. That was
best good. best authority figure in the game right now. Sorry, Adam Pearce. Well, okay, wait, Sonya Deville is up there as well. But yeah, William Regal, really good here. Mm-hmm.
I will say, seeing all these people do signatures, I had to practice myself.
I was about to zoom in on your signature. Yeah, yeah. Hold on.
Oh my god, yeah.
If anyone wants to copy that,
that's hilarious.
I think that's a good signature.
Thank you. But I believe it.
You just need to practice drawing it in like size 50 font, like John Cena.
Yeah.
So my signatures are a mess. I still haven't. My married signature is just
you
horrendous.
You just have to put the lines on the paper, and then they're
it's horrendous.
You have to be very confident. The secret to contracts is that you have to just do a thing on the paper, and then push the contract back to the person who's asking you to sign it very confidently. Like, that's my signature.
I think you should like have a bad signature. Like, it's a mess. So that way when people's like, well, you signed a contract, you're like, that's not my signature.
Exactly. Especially in wrestling. Like,
you make it like a smiley face. Like, you really thought that that was my signature? No.
Mm-hmm. You tried it.
Yeah.
So this is great. We're officially getting Samoa Joe versus Karrion Kross. I hope Joe takes the title off him so Karrion Kross can go to Raw. Because which would make sense. Joe is literally the guy to take it off of him. That is high caliber. People would love Samoa Joe as the NXT champion. And then on top of that, you know, Karrion Kross, they're not really protecting him all that much on Raw, so he might as well take this loss to a credible challenger in Samoa Joe and move on to climbing the ladder for Raw. Next, we finally got what I have been waiting for.
What?
What apparently a lot of the crowd was waiting for. There you go. So Raquel Gonzalez comes out to talk about her championship. I can't believe her pose is showing off her back muscles. That is just all right. So Raquel's talking about, I'm the champion. I'm excited. Who in the back? None of y'all can see me. She was popping that, talking out of the side of her neck, saying, you know, who can challenge me? Nobody. And then, you know, Dakota had to also chime in there. Yeah, who wants some? Who wants some? Nobody. Nobody. And I know me, the whole entire time, I was like, kick her in the face. And Dakota did a great job. You know, they, again, we got the type of like, oh, they're celebrating. Oh, Raquel's going to look to this side. The people are like, even the crowd were like, come on, man, come on. And then as soon as Dakota nailed Raquel, I think it was a super kick. Yeah. It was a knee.
What's it called? What does she call it? The kick in the corner.
It's kind of like the Huluva kick, but I don't think she didn't call it that. I forget.
I don't like, remember. It's just that, what's up with everybody getting betrayed? Like, there's no real friends.
This is a good week. This is a good week for betrayal.
It was like, the friendships are so fake here. Like wow. You just hype your friend up. You're like, nobody, she's a champion. Yeah, and you're going to kick her in the face and embarrass her. Like, I can't root for that. You're fake.
It's dog eat dog. It's dog eat dog. They've been together for a while. They were former NXT Women's Tag Team Champions for 3 hours, 2 hours at most.
But still.
Yeah, they're the inaugural. they've been teaming, like, Raquel Gonzalez kind of almost started out as Dakota's, like, muscle. And that was at least a year and a half ago. It's been a minute. So this was coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the whole dynamic. Like, for those that don't know, Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez dynamic is a lot like back in the 90s, the Shawn Michaels Diesel, aka Kevin Nash dynamic, where Shawn Michaels is like the smaller, more nimble, definitely better wrestler and with the muscle behind her. And so I liked this dynamic because even in this segment, Dakota calls Raquel Big Mommy Cool, which, like, if you don't know, Diesel was known as Big Daddy Cool. So it all works out. But they were great together. They'll also probably be great against each other. And they that Dakota is still going to be a heel. And I assume that this means Raquel is turning face, or she just turned face by getting a kick to the face, which is a nice way of doing it.
I don't know. This will be interesting to see how they play this, because the crowd was chanting Dakota. Like, everybody was like, Dakota, Dakota.
And she was justified. Well.
Like, I was like, yes!
It's wrestling. So, like, when you kick people in the face, that's what you're supposed to do. So, is that really a heel, like, bad guy move? I don't know.
I don't know.
I think getting kicked in the face is always a bad thing.
Yeah.
If you're taking the kick.
I know
you guys didn't have the background to it, but AJ, what did you think when you originally saw this clip?
Legit, the first note I had on it was, I may be missing some history here.
Like a highlight package of their friendship. Yeah.
At least you recognize.
Yeah.
yes. Well, I liked it. I liked, I think I made it clear on this episode, I like when people betray each other. So I enjoyed this very much. So, I enjoy, especially because, like, she is obviously a smaller figure, and the fact that she got one up on her, I was like, oh, that's so awesome. I liked seeing it. I was also rooting for her. So I thought, like, oh, she's the good guy, even though she did the betraying.
It's like, it just reminds me of, like, if you come for the queen, you best not miss. And she did not miss.
And she did not. She was laying on her back looking stupid like the rest of us. So I'm like, okay. I rock with it. I like to see more Raquel and see what she does next.
Well,
because I bet you she's going to be fuming next time we see her.
Oh, I'm gonna miss it. And I want to see it. I I really love Dakota Kai. I think they just have they've never found what her niche was until she turned heel. And when she turned heel, it was really good, but they missed the moment with her, I feel like. And so with this pairing with Raquel, we've been going through this pairing for so long. And I think that this was a great, this was a great moment. This was the moment to pull the trigger on it. I'll be very interested to see what the dynamics are going forward. Definitely. But I'm a little afraid that Dakota won't take the belt off of Raquel. So I hope she doesn't lose some of the shine again there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isaiah, how about you? Are you rooting for Raquel now since she was the one who
It's just like I love villains more than the next person. I hate the Scar Mufasa dynamic. Oh, like you're gonna pretend to be someone's friend. Wow. We talked about this earlier. I'm not for you hype someone up. You help them, your best friend, hugs, kisses. Oh, and then you want to kick him in. Like, that's so whack. It's so fake. I don't like it, girl.
I am here for it.
Respect it. You have to respect
the drama.
Theory.
Imagine if someone did this to you in real life. I would cut them off.
We mad. We
if someone that. Kicked me in the face in real life.
Yeah. Imagine you had a friend. Look, you have a friend. I don't
think I'd be that mad, though.
And you're working towards something. You achieve that goal, and they help you the whole time. And then they just backstab you and, like, actually, it's mine.
Yeah, I would hate that. But if you really break it down, like, wouldn't you rather have your best friend turn on you than have your worst enemy be?
Imagine you guys were in Raw and then you and Mari were working together and then Mari just backstabbed you at the end.
Be happy for her because I'd be like, look at
but
her.
But you're going to have a kick in the face.
So successful.
You're going to have a kick in the face and everyone's going to laugh at you.
My face would be too sore to care because I couldn't podcast anyway at that point.
You're loyal to the soil, Matt.
Loyal to the soil.
I'll be like, get out of my face.
Isaiah's like, come on, Matt, come on. Join me. What are you doing? Stop being so nice.
I would
come
back the next week. Like, Mari didn't mean to kick me in the face. She just wants to be successful. And I would be defending her, and she would kick me in the face again.
Oh, my God.
This is probably true. That's horrible. All right.
That'd be a great let's write that down for like when we start a wrestling promotion. Just
when we're the bookers.
Yeah, we just have like the unexpected, like, Mari, I'm cheering for you. Ice on my face. Jaw stapled shut. Stapled shut.
Well, this next clip, we gotta get our resident in-house rapper to talk about this next clip. We had the next few clips, should I say. We had Hit Row, Imperium, and Legado del Fantasma. We get them squaring off. Hit Row, again, I'm still kind of confused of, like, is their promo style always gonna rhyme like this? You know, because they weren't rapping. It was clearly a promo, but it was also rhyming. So I'm just like, we'll see how this goes. But Hit Row, and they did it in Spanish as well. Loved it. Loved B-Fab.
And they were like, there was a little bit of like a wagwan in there. They got, this was almost a try, almost. I wish it was technically trilingual, but it wasn't technically trilingual, but it was like close. Being close. Trilingual.
Two and a half lingual. So we got the promo from them. Then Hit Row versus Imperium. And surprisingly, Hit Row took a loss here. Mm-hmm. Just to then be beat by Legado del Fantasma. Just for Legado del Fantasma to cut their own promo saying, did you not think we were going to come for you? So a little bit of background. Legado del Fantasma and Hit Row have been feuding since about last week. It's not been that much. Right, it's been like a week, but this is interesting. I kind of like the insertion of Imperium. I really had to think. Sadly, I had to think really hard who the tag team champions are. But it is MSK. But MSK hasn't really been. They haven't been on the show in a while. So I would love like maybe a triple threat or something to figure out who's going to face MSK. This was great. Isaiah, what is your thought process on this? Oh, God.
Like I said, I am very, it was cheap. It was cheap. Because look, he was winning a lot of it. And then they just jumped him. And it's like, no, give him a 1v1 at least, you know?
Why are you about fairness, man?
Like, it's not about
fairness.
Like, if you're going to beat somebody, like you're going to whoop somebody, at least do it. Like, fair, like you're not going to leave that feeling like, oh, I won the fight. You're going to just be like, yeah, we just jumped that guy. You're going to look like a coward. Like, I don't know. I'd rather win on my own than like, hey, guys, like, I can't beat this guy. I'm too scared. We all need help. Like, I don't know. That's corny.
What did you think about Hit Row's, like, promo rhyming?
I thought his aesthetic was cool, though. I did think I like his aesthetic. I like the way that they dressed him for this. It was fun. I like the jersey too. Like, I'm not wearing one right now, but like, I have so many Sixer jerseys over there. I thought it was cool.
What's your thought overall, though, on like rap and wrestling? Like, do we need more of it? Do we need less of it?
I mean, it feels like they're like experimenting with a lot of different things. Like, they got the rap, they got the superhero, they got a little bit of everything. So, I mean, I feel like if you can do it in a creative space, why not? You know, like, I like the new thing that they're going on, where they're just trying a bunch of different things instead of the same. Oh, they need to wear tights, and then, you know, just like some persona, like there's a gimmick. So, I mean, it makes it interesting.
Mixing things up a lot. Yeah, AJ, what are your thoughts?
I love asking, especially our very black guests. how they feel about this?
You didn't know.
I love the hint of creativity. It's fun.
Outwardly black. That's that thing on Twitter.
I like it. It's okay not to like it as well. I agree with Isaiah with the whole aesthetic and the setting and stuff like that. Like, it was like, it gave me really cool vibes. I loved that energy. And then it was like, wait, so are you gonna drop bars, or are you just gonna like talk over here and stuff like that?
Yeah, very confusing with that, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was like, I'm okay, like, a pause. We got four black rappers fighting in here. Like, I'm here for it. Sign me up. Like, more of it, please. And then the match came, and then it was like, what was his name? Adonis?
Yeah, Adonis.
I was like, I like Adonis, but then they're like beating up Adonis so much, and we have to wait for Ty Dolla to get in here.
Adonis is the whipping boy of the team. And sure,
poor Adonis, my guy. Mm-hmm. But like, I like Adonis, Ty Dolla. I like them all. They're all awesome. Legado, did I say that right?
Okay, yeah, Legado del Fantasma. It's the three guys. The main dude is Santos Escobar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but they came in. I was like, darn it, you ruined my guy's night. They were like, how dare y'all? And then the backstage segment happened. I thought it was meh, but then he said, see you later, alligator.
I get it. Yes.
And he lost all credibility with me. Like, I was like,
no!
All credibility. I was like, you know what? I have never been so unintimidated in my life.
I loved it.
I was like, see you later, alligator.
Only Santos Escobar can make that sound cool as hell.
Can we start ending the podcast with that one?
I just said only Santos Escobar could do it, not me.
Mari said that with a dead seriousness.
I this is a good feud that's heating up. Again, I could see because MSK, they are faces. Hit Row kind of seem like they're in the transition to becoming faces with the crowds back now. Legado del Fantasma are clearly heels, and Imperium are normally clearly heels as well. So I would love to see like maybe another tag team ladder match or something with MSK, like a fatal four way at their takeover or something to that effect. But I just really liked where this was going. It's getting that tag team scene like heated up and all that.
I will say something I really liked about Hit Row, and I do like Hit Row. I like them a lot. Like back when I was watching, you had stuff like, you know, Crime Time. And it was like, oh, we're making jokes about like the black people and stuff like that. And I liked to hear it. It wasn't like, oh, we're joking on your culture and stuff like that. It was like, oh, we see this as a part of your culture and we're going to like celebrate it, like make these people feel legitimate. And I like that a lot.
Yeah. And like we've previously said, three of them are actual, like they're rappers or they're rappers. Ashanti the Adonis is the only one who isn't. So.
And thankfully, but the good news is they don't even try with him.
They don't even try with him. I love that. Yeah. He's like, he knows his strengths and his weaknesses. And again, and even with them going up against Legado del Fantasma, who are luchadores, you know, and have a strong Latino background, I love how they, like you said, they're not making fun of their culture. They're like talking to them in Spanish in their culture, like we can also like get at you like this too, which is really kind of cool as well. Cause I do think Brianna Brandy is Afro Latina as well, I think. So this was, that's really cool. Good from them. Amazing. Yeah. Just love the diversity, to be quite honest.
Same here.
Between the two factions, and it's going to be, I cannot wait, because it's going to be so good to see Legado del Fantasma versus Hit Row, because they can all go, like they can really all go in the ring. So that's going to be really, really fun. Mm-hmm. Fun match.
I'm excited.
Yeah. We'll keep sending you clips.
Send me more Hit Row. Send me some more Monsoon. Send me more.
Oh my God.
Monsoon.
That's a great name, though.
I was like, that never even occurred to me. We'll send you all the things. And the clips are in our show notes for those who don't know, just to mention that, plug that a little bit. Check those out. We have a playlist each week with the clips. So that's an easy way to watch everything.
Yes. And so now we can move on to AEW Fight for the Fallen. We're back at AEW. Mm-hmm. Took a break. Now we're back. Just for some quick highlights. Again, also a very good show. A lot of people love Fight for the Fallen. I liked it as well. Have some thoughts, though. First off, we're going to talk about the Painmaker, Chris Jericho versus Nick Gage. This is a part of Jericho's second labor that MJF. I said Nick Gage. I did.
I'm sure. Never mind.
I said it. We've already talked about how I hate that everybody's names. Yeah.
Gage.
Page. They're all there. There's like four of them, five of them that have that same type of aesthetic. But this is Jericho's second labor from MJF. And this was a no rules match. Again, another match where it's just like no disqualification, no DQ, lights out, whatever. You know, just basically you can do whatever the fuck you want to. Yeah, that's true. You can have it. You can do whatever you want to. So, Chris Jericho, he comes out as the Painmaker. For those who used to watch like New Japan, this was the character where it was like his most like diabolical character, heel character, depending on who you are, if you liked him or you didn't. But basically, like this is it's time to get down dirty. Nick Gage, again, I can't remember if we talked about it, but we know we didn't. Okay. I didn't know who this person was. I'm sorry, guys. I get it.
Sorry
to this man. I know some of our indie, you know, our AEW indie fans, apparently he's like really big on the deathmatch circuit.
I mean, so. I've known his name. And it's funny because like, I'm like, how did I know this man's name? And it's because, well, one, like I grew up in New Jersey around that indie scene. So his name was popped up even though I never saw him. And he was definitely in the deathmatch scene, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, you know, one of the big notable things, I'm not, you know, not trying to, he robbed a bank and he did his time and he's good now, but he did rob a bank and that was the story. I was like, what? I vaguely remember something. So that was the thing that came to mind for him. All to say, he is legit. You have to love a good, legit wrestler who's willing to rob you.
Do you?
April, I'm just thinking of everything you've said so far. You probably wouldn't like the real Nick Gage, but
no.
What did you have any thoughts initially on the wrestler and seeing the clip?
Well, I have more about the whole fight as a whole, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Where this was a lot more graphic.
This was AEW. There was blood
and there was glass and stuff. I mean, I didn't mind. I was like, it reminded me of what was the word I'm looking for? Like if there was like an apocalypse or something. Like this is just like chaotic. But I don't know. Their fighting styles were something. I don't know. I don't really know what to think of it. There was just like a lot going on. I was like, how do you determine who's a winner? Why are they just banging like lights and like glass against each other?
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? But I mean, it was something. It was something. I, you know, they both did it, what they had to do. I just don't know who would subject themselves to this because I can't.
AJ.
I will say, first off, I would like to not be robbed. Please and thank you.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm gonna
ask. Oh, I mean, I don't want to be robbed. I just support his choice to. He robbed a bank. He didn't rob like me or you. And
I thought you were about to say capitalism. I support his choice to rob.
Right. I wouldn't. No, okay. I would not tell anyone to rob anything or anyone or any banks. But yeah. Anyway, so what did you think of Nick Gage?
So I did not. I'm not going to. I'm gonna be straight up. I did not care for this. I did not like this. All the blood and gore and stuff like that. It is not for me. I thought it would be for me. I like watch movies like Saw and stuff like that. But when I saw this, I was like, "Oh, these are real people." And I'm, "Oh no, oh no." It was like I would first like to say, Chris Jericho, he's still around. Okay,
yeah.
That is. And he's doing this stuff. Okay, you know what? It's not my body. It's
like, yeah, that's true. Right, exactly.
We're just stabbing people now with pizza cutters.
Homeboy on the microphone was like, stab him, stab him. No, he said, shank him. And I was like, who is shanking? What is happening?
I mean, Nick Gage is in MDK, the murder. That's the murder, death, kill gang.
Mm-mm. Oh, no, sir. Go home, Nick. I don't care. Like, don't
should not be me.
Yes.
Stupid, though. He pizza cutter. Like, that was his choice. I'm not saying use a knife, but, like, I'm saying there's something more threatening.
Because as a fellow person from New Jersey, I was offended by this because I don't love stabbing people, but I especially don't love stabbing people with pizza cutters because that's where I draw the line. Like, if you're going to stab someone, don't mess with the pizza. Leave the pizza alone. I don't want bloody pizza. I want my pizza to not have human things, remains, DNA, other things
all in of the it. Stuff.
So that's how I feel. But I mean, some people are into that. So let them have their pizza, their bloody pizza.
If you're into that, you need some help.
I'm not. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Home Skillet. What's his name? I wrote his name. MJF.
Home Skillet.
MJF. Yeah. Yes. MJF.
I was like, that sounds like, I don't.
No, listen, there wasn't a skillet in the match, okay? But I liked him. He was so arrogant, cocky. He didn't care at all. I was like, I'm here for this. He had popcorn, and everyone knows popcorn is the universal sign of an asshole. So I enjoyed that a lot. But then at the end of the match, he was like, next week's stipulation, you have to jump off the rope. And I was like, what? That's it? That's all he has to do? This don't seem that hard. Like, what is that?
So, a little bit of background. MJF is subjecting Chris Jericho to four labors. He's likened it to the labors of Hercules. If Jericho surpasses all these labors, he can then get a shot at MJF, which, okay. The stipulation for the next match is you must perform a maneuver from the top rope. And his opponent is the legendary luchador Juventud Guerrero, who is like quite literally one of the best luchadors of all time, who invented the top rope, basically. You know.
Yeah.
Just one from that type of lineage. Like, that is so, yes, that is such a weird stipulation. I agree with you, AJ. It's going to be a lot of weird tiptoeing around the top rope.
And here's what I'll give you. This reminds me of, like, growing up, all of the WWE video games I would play, and they would have, like, weirdest stipulations and things they'd throw at you. This might have even been one of them. I'm sure that there was some, like, version of this in the game, like hit a finisher from the top rope or hit, like, something. So it's going to be really goofy, actually, to watch this, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's fun. Like, the thing with Chris Jericho is that, unfortunately, we're not just going to get him being like, okay, I'm trying to get to the rope and do a move off the rope, and then I win. And then I'm like, and then that's how I'm going to get it. Like, no, it's going to be, I feel like we're going to get like a slow build to him climbing those ropes and doing it. But if this were me in the video games, I would be running whatever those buttons are, running right to the rope, climb up, and just try to jump. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so this is a little better. Okay. So this is better than what I originally thought when MJF had announced these labors thing. And Sean Spears was the first guy. I was like, oh God, is Jericho just going to run through the rest the pinnacle? Yeah. But bringing Nick Gage, bringing Juventud, like bringing back people who are Chris Jericho's age and then Chris Jericho beating them makes so much more sense. I'm so glad they're doing this as opposed to Jericho going over like younger, fresher talent. So I actually really like this. I like the weird stipulations. It's almost like when I said, like, if people do a best of seven series, each match should have a different stipulation. So I'm feeling this now. I think I'm finally invested. MJF, like AJ pointed out, is so hilarious. He's so amazing. He went all the way back from 2 years ago. That's petty. Like, how petty do you have to be like, yo, I remember this from 2 years ago, and now you finna get it. Like, it's so funny. It's so funny to me. So I do agree with AJ. I am on the record here on this podcast for saying I am not a fan of death matches. As a medical professional, as soon as anybody starts bleeding, that's the only thing I can think about. And
same as a medical amateur.
Yeah. I work at a hospital too.
Don't like I've it. Been to the hospital. Almost a medical professional.
Because that's all I could just think of. Oh, the
AMP. Matt Amp. Could I be Matt Amp?
All right. I'm okay.
Okay, we'll come back to that later.
I am done. That is still better than Nikki ASH. But yes, this was a bloody affair. Oh my God. Pizza cutters to the head. The light bulbs just really get me. Because I'm like, that has to be like fiberglass and icky.
But the pizza cutter, I feel like, is the worst thing in this match. Like, because you... pizza cutters they're knives. Place in professional wrestling. And the fact that, like, at the beginning of this match, Nick Gage took a swipe at Chris Jericho and just nicked his arm.
Yeah.
And it was bleeding.
Mm-hmm. Immediately.
I don't like that, actually. I really don't like that. But I could do like throwing people through a glass pane and hitting them with light tubes and all of that, but I can't do a pizza cutter.
Poor pizza. So we'll be keeping an eye on the labors of Jericho. And we also got, of course, we got the Elite. They faced the Dark Order in a 10-man elimination match. The stipulation was Hangman Page and the Dark Order don't beat Kenny Omega and the Elite, then both of them will lose their shots at the title. Hangman Page losing his shot because he's currently ranked number one in the men's division. His shot against Kenny Omega for the AEW championship, and then Dark Order wouldn't be able to face the Young Bucks for the AEW tag team championships. And I am so disappointed because I, again, on record, I love me some Hangman Page. Hangman, Adam Page. They did the entrances. Hangman had the Dark Order in some stables. That was so funny. And then the Elite came out like the Toon Squad, I guess. Mm. Like, that was a blatant product placement for their entrance. Yeah. And we're really asking who's the better. It's Hangman. It's cowboy shit. Like, I love that. Whoever made that package was amazing. It was just like, cowboys don't run. You don't need to have a hat to be a cowboy. I was like, that was fucking awesome, yo.
That was corny.
So, I liked it. I personally liked it. I liked it.
What you doing with that face? Yeah,
thank you. I Hangman Page is it. He is it. The crowd loves him. Like, ugh.
Yeah, but it's like, make up your mind. Like, what is his story? Because they're 1 week they're going on and on about how he's an alcoholic. Another week they're going on and on about how he's a cowboy.
Exclusive. I always imagine cowboys is drunk. What are you talking about here?
Like, I think if you're drunk, that is a clear sign that you can be a cowboy.
Yes. That's
true. I just didn't like the hats, honestly. I didn't like the hats.
Well, he wasn't wearing the hat this time.
That's true.
It was his shadow that was wearing cowboy hats.
Shadow.
Yeah, I have questions.
I thought that was so cool.
It was so cool. That was the one part that I thought was corny. Like, really? Amazing. This is pro wrestling. This isn't cinematography class in your junior college. Like,
well, that is
that paid.
Fair point. And
I mean, I said what I said. So, AJ, I have nothing else to say. I'm honestly not mad at this. Like, these are all good wrestlers. It's just it was a weird setup, and we didn't.
Yeah,
the product placement was really strange. And one thing they didn't include on the YouTube version of this, for whatever reason, was a spot that they did in the match where basically there was a basketball hoop on the outside of the ring, and feel like, so we need to find like some kind of way to visualize this.
AEW does not post like full clips of their matches. The only thing they posted from this match were the entrances. So the clip I had to like literally find was a clip of the match kind of strung together, because the match itself was like 30 minutes or so. I watched it, you know, I watched the actual program. So it was like at least 30 minutes. And I was able to find a clip that whittled it down to 3, but it was a 10-man elimination tag match. So they had to do each, you know, they eliminated people one by one until they got down to the finals. And the match itself was really good. There are a lot of funny spots. You know, they normally do the funny spots, but it was just so much going on. Even as somebody who knows who the people who are like wrestling and stuff, I was confused. Like, the ref wasn't stopping anything. There were so many like double teams and triple teams and quadruple teams. It was very chaotic, and it didn't really calm down until we finally got some eliminations, and it got slower and slower. But the biggest thing is that Kenny Omega pinned Hangman Page here, so the Elite won. So now, technically, Hangman cannot square off for the title, and Dark Order can't either, which is highly, highly annoying, because the crowd, everybody, me, we want it. They've been postponing Hangman Page versus Kenny Omega for at least 2 years now. And I get, you know, maybe stringing it along a little bit more, but no, like, strike while the iron is hot. Like, sorry. Isaiah, what did you think?
It was just a lot. I said with the other one, it just felt like a lot going on. This whole segment is called what again?
This is AEW. AEW is a whole different wrestling.
Okay, because I'm just like, it's just like a whole different vibe where, not necessarily like bad, but it's just like, it's just like, it's like, no, it's not bad at all, actually. Like, I'm saying it's like, you just have to like digest, like at least for me with this experience, because I'm going from WWE stuff to this, it's just like, all right, I gotta like process my brain to like, oh yeah, like this isn't what this is, like it's two different things. But yeah, it's just a different vibe. Like you just have to be into more intense stuff.
Yeah, exactly. WWE is PG. They're yeah, like trying to be for like families, like for kids. Yeah. AEW is like, they're like PG-13. They go for the blood, they go for the guts. They
exactly.
They're geared toward. Yeah, <it's> not they're geared towards.
That was very cringe, though.
Yeah,
got it too. I was just like, what's going on here?
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. AJ.
It hurt my soul when I saw them coming out with basketballs. It genuinely did.
Yeah. Yeah, they couldn't even dribble.
Like, oh my God. I saw that. I wanted to be like, turn it off. I couldn't do this. Oh my gosh. It cringed to my soul and it was upsetting. And I was, right.
Like, they didn't need to try to dribble. Like, they could have just carried the balls.
Like, legit. No one could have known that y'all
sucked. That was actually...
But dribbling is, like, the easiest thing you could do.
Yeah, but, like, at the same time, maybe they didn't... You know, it's one of those things where they definitely didn't know how bad they were.
Oh, no. They thought they were doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were all white, and they were hyping each other up so much. they really were.
They lost that one.
Yeah.
So it was upsetting. I was mad. Oh, yeah. Wait, what?
I'm just imagining them hyping each other up. Like, oh, yeah, Kenny, go out there and dribble. Okay, Nick, let's go out and dribble. We can do this. And Matt, oh, yeah, you go over there. Hit a dunk. Okay, I'll hit a dunk. You didn't hit a dunk. He missed the dunk. It was sad. He could jump off a top rope and do a million flips, but he cannot dunk. And that is just the sad truth. And no one was surprised.
Yeah, not a person, not a soul in the audience was like, oh, that's Travis. Oh my gosh. But I was also upset that Homeskillet lost. Like, I wanted him to win, and then it was 3-on-1. I was like, this is the underdog story, this is your moment. And then he was like, I can't rise to the occasion, I tried. So it was upsetting. I was rooting for him. I'm sad he lost. I can't wait to see how he weasels his way into the championship match, because I want it to happen.
Well, I can tell you what he's not going to do is interrupt the contract signing.
They could play horse.
Sign it.
They could play horse.
They could play horse for the contract.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That would actually go with his gimmick too.
They would have to do so many takes. Cowboy.
Right, cutting. Kind of like,
okay, we've been filming this for 6 hours and we can't get five.
Shoot the ball up, the ball goes out of frame, and then just comes back.
Or just say it happened.
Yeah, I just, again, like this is one thing about AEW. It's like they always throw so much at the board. It's like they need to like do like Coco Chanel, like before you leave the house, take one accessory off. Like you don't need all of this. And I don't, the crowd was literally deflated after Kenny pinned Hangman Page. It was just like, you know. So I think they should have just went with the logical booking. This felt like a swerve for no reason to me here. So now Page got to do more hoops to, I guess, get back into the title picture, even though he's like undefeated, or I think it said it was like he's 11-1 or something. And AEW's whole thing is like wins and losses matter and stuff like that. So yeah, we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it.
Was such a good, you said what? Hoops. You said hoops. You're just here with all of like the unintentional puns, and I love it. I love it.
Thank you. I don't be catching it.
I think you were in like incepted by the bad basketball year.
Yeah, there it is. I was trying to forget about it, but
sorry.
No,
we're all trying to forget.
That's it for the highlights of the week. As we've been saying all along, you can find them in the show notes and in the show descriptions. Check us out on YouTube so you can see helpful photos and stuff like that, and you can follow along as we go through it. This has been just a great podcast, guys. We are so close to that 3 hour mark, and we gotta get up out of here. AJ, let me ask you first, any final thoughts about everything you've seen over the week?
Final thoughts, I really enjoyed it, the product overall. I already said Mansoor is my guy. Bianca is my girl. Sasha's my other girl. Reginald and his flippy flippers, I love it. Like Samoa Joe, I was here for it. MJF,
yeah.
Yes, the letters. I like him a lot.
He's such a star, yeah.
Yeah, he was really good. I think this has, like, I forgot how fun wrestling is. Like, I genuinely did. Yeah. Like, this was just fun. Like, straight awesome. Up, good time.
AJ, I have a question. Could you see yourself in this wrestling world, like, as a wrestler? Could you... Because we typically think about this, but I just wanted to quickly ask, like, do you see yourself pursuing that career path?
I could be future? MVP, baby. Like, straight up.
Nice.
But don't ask me to get in that ring. I can't do that. No.
Fair enough.
You know, like, he could say, I can stand on the outside. I can talk that yep. talk and stand on the outside. Yeah. Take a bump or two, maybe. All right. I like it. Okay, Isaiah, you came back. What'd you think?
I am enjoying certain individuals a lot. I'm a huge, like you're saying, I like Sasha, I like Bianca, I like John Cena.
Yeah.
but no, it's cool. I just hope that they give Baron Corbin some good support for that for him. I'm just like I don't know. I just enjoy it. But to the question you were like, could you do this? No.
Yeah.
Because I would try to make friends and they would just kick me in the back.
I
think you'd be great, actually.
No. Yes, not, yes. That is not the life for me. I don't want to be betrayed.
No, because you would just be calling people out on how much they're like,
cut the shit.
Just like no. backstabbing everyone. Like, I can't do like this. It's such a reality TV thing too. I can imagine you cutting that promo. Like, I can't do this. All these snakes and liars. And
Isaiah's like, I want everyone to hold hands and sing that Girl Scout song.
Not that. Oh my God.
I can't remember, Matt. Can you remember? Wasn't there? There's a wrestler who was known because, like, all of their partners, every single one of them would always, like, turn their back on them. Like, they would always end up just looking like, what's going on?
That is sick.
I cannot remember if it was a women's wrestler or a men's wrestler. I want to say Nikki Cross was in that position for a while, or known as Nikki Ash, but it was just the same people who kept doing it to her. But it was somebody. I can't remember. It'll probably come to me. If you can remember anybody listening out there, put it in the comments, like, subscribe, below, all that good stuff. All right. So,
Ask, like, 8-Ball, what is your wrestling fandom still at a 3? I have this chart.
These things will change overnight, Matt. I mean, you could put me 3.5, but like I gotta see it on TV.
Oh,
please don't change overnight, then it immediately changes the score.
This is it. Thank you. I have my statistics and spreadsheets.
We got the data. The data is good. It is up to date.
It's statistically significant. Mari. Mm-hmm. What's up? We have to wrap up this podcast.
We do. So we got to ask AJ, plug yourself. Where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheKidNorris. I don't really tweet much, but I promote everything I do on there.
Okay. And so anything coming up?
There is something in the works. I don't know if I can say at the moment.
All right. Great. We love secrecy.
No hints.
You will see it on my Twitter if it comes to fruition.
There we go. All right, Isaiah, where can people find you? Listen to more content and all that.
You can find me at 8-Ball Bangers on all social media, and then I also podcast on my own channel called Silent Podcast with a couple of other people. Everybody. So you can find me over there. Is there really? Are you? I don't know.
I feel like we've had a number of silent.
We love our faves are over there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna be DMing y'all to come over soon.
So. Of course.
But
I mean, you know, we're happy. It's to be on the balls in your court, bro.
Yeah, and by the way, shout out for you with everything you've created with Silent Podcast, just to like have a space for more amazing people to actually be heard and to talk about all this stuff. Exactly. Too. Especially as we do this wild Big Brother season. So it's good. It's good. We're out here. Thank you. But I think it's time for me to plug myself, Mari. Is that what's
it next? Is? Yes.
Matt Scott GW, hit me on Twitter. Again, send your complaints to anyone who's not me.
Yeah.
And you know,
you can send it to the Kid Norris. I'll fight you.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what's going to be on your feed. Just retweet and sharing your podcast and defending me. Thank you so much, AJ, for being my secretary. And that's really what I've been up to. I mean, covering Big Brother 23 whenever RHAP calls, but otherwise, this is your place to find me. And, you know, you never know what we'll have coming up. You never know who we have on. But we have some exciting guests planned. And
yes,
we're not going to announce it yet, but people that we are on podcasts with.
Very excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next week, we should have some super best friends on. So, you can always find me at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two, on Twitter and Stereo. You can also, I was on the Big Brother Live feeds earlier this week.
Yes, I was on
the 90 Day Fiance podcast. This is all RHAP. Yeah, I was on a Big Brother recap as well. I was a crazy person. Last week I did four podcasts in a row, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Don't do it. Wouldn't recommend
it. Yeah.
Good for you though. Yeah. That's really awesome. And it's good to be out there. I was happy to be able to follow you on the recap on Thursday. And
yes, you did a great job.
We have to get on one of those sometime if anyone's listening.
So yes, you can find us at RHAP. You can also find this YouTube video. If you're listening to the podcast, you can find us at YouTube at Rob Has a Podcast on YouTube. Jesus, so many Rob Has a.
Rob has a podcast on YouTube, or I think Rob has a website.com/YouTube. Subscribe, hit that notification bell, do all those other influencery things.
Leave us a comment and subscribe to the Wrestling Rehab Up, wherever you get your podcasts. Again, outside the Big Brother house now. I love saying that. I see why Julie Chin loves saying that. But we'll see you next week. Until then, watch out for any flying elbows.